This is PFW in progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by
no. No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think. Since you're thinking, now go on. Think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
FNG, Mike Parenti.
You look like a bunch of fifth grade sissies after a cat fight.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to PFW in Progress. I am Mike Parenti, your guest host again, filling in for Fred Kirsch. So for all those who emailed and said my version of the show sucked, well, guess what? I'm back in the big chair.
So suck is back,
suck
baby.
It up, pal. We're here with Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. A lot to talk about today as we prepare for Week 3 against the Miami Dolphins. A couple of controversial comments coming from the Miami locker room. A lot of emails. Some good stuff from the Patriot locker room today. Paul, Andy, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Oh, I was still enjoying that open, that professional open that we not usually have.
Very
normally don't get one of those, do you?
Until we start talking about some random topic and he starts dropping F-bombs.
God bless Joey Porter, though, guys, huh?
Something to talk
Joey
about.
Joey Porter comes through and gives you something to worry about or talk about before an otherwise meaningless game against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, a pretty bad team.
They stink. Terrible.
It is a bad team. And Joey Porter is a bad guy.
It would be funnier if Porter were playing for a good team.
Or if he was still playing. I thought he retired 2 years ago.
Ooh.
Playing Andy Hart's Scott Erickson.
That's not fair. They had him on the wrong side last year.
Oh, okay.
He's back in his customary spot now over the tight end where he belongs.
Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, I don't think what he said was all that outrageous, but still, just dumb comments from a dumb guy who constantly sticks his foot in his mouth.
He used the word easy for a team that's won one game in its last
right.
20
and,
tries.
And what did Rodney say? You know, the good thing about the
great thing about football, you'll have
is
the opportunity to prove it.
Yeah. Tell him to feed his pit bulls before he talks, before they eat
pit bulls?
Baby horses. You don't remember that story? He had
two
pit bulls that
ate
a baby horse.
Go
to his Wikipedia page.
He had two pit bulls that got loose somehow off his property, and one of them ended up eating some baby horse that was grazing in the area.
Probably ate the first thing they saw. You know, another reason why I'm not big on pit bulls is pets, by the way. But anyway, I digress. You go to Joey Porter's Wikipedia page, it's fantastic. There's like a whole special section on all the stupid crap he said over the years, all the things he's done.
2 weeks ago, he was
a big,
into
long
a
list
with Brian Cox pregame, the Jets coach.
Yeah,
and
that
I
was
never
another
even
good
actually
one.
Saw what that was. I just saw it once and don't know what it was, why it happened, but he does that all the time.
Yeah, it was like special teams work that was getting done before the game. You know, when they kick and they're kind of intertwined, it was something like that.
He's an idiot.
I mean, the things he said yesterday, the biggest problem I would have is him saying, you know, it's not that hard.
Yeah, it's easy was the hardest.
Well, if it's that easy, you're 0-2.
Yeah.
Then why haven't you done it?
That
why didn't you do it to Jad Pennington
right.
and
that,
Kurt Warner, who's as mobile as anybody in the league?
But maybe he's just trying to rally his team, and maybe
it's
he
fine.
Thinks they stink inside, and he's just trying to do something to
I mean, at this point, what does he really have to lose at this point? They're already bad as it is.
Right.
They're 0-2. They're not going to go anywhere. Might as well just open your mouth and insert foot and just say whatever you got to say. What's the big deal? Didn't really insult anybody.
He's a big mouth, and he always has
he
been.
And Rodney wasn't taking the bait. That was one thing that he made clear. As people asked him fourth, fifth question about it, what are you searching for here? You guys are searching. You know me. I'm not going to give you anything. And he didn't. He just stuck with his whole he'll have the opportunity thing and all that. The one thing I did find funny is they asked him which one of these was his favorite.
Yeah.
In terms of the opponents talking trash, saying dumb stuff. And he said, it's funny, the Freddie Mitchell thing was the most personal, was a direct shot at him, basically. But the one he laughed at the most was Anthony Smith from last year, when obviously that could not have worked out any worse for Mr. Smith when he got embarrassed.
Yeah, that was the funniest part, is that he got embarrassed and they specifically targeted him.
Oh, that was the best result. We were talking about this as we were walking down here to do the show. The best result. How could you get any better than that?
Okay. Hey, are we getting a live feed? Okay. We just got an email that said that we weren't getting any
two
sound.
Two gender.
I thought this was all two gender again.
Grotekai, somebody.
He's not even in there, though, is he?
Those genders.
I still blame him.
It's still his fault, anyway.
Gary's sensitive. You can't blame him too often. What's Gary eating? And why am I not eating?
Why are we not eating, by the way? I thought we had an order and everything all set to go.
Two gender screwed it up again, didn't he?
Are you serious?
What? I don't know why you guys get to give so much static.
Papagino's is running late. Okay. Well, we'll keep the show rolling on.
Yeah, I'm going to be running
late, too.
We
should also mention today the ribbon cutting ceremony here.
It's a very, very big weekend at Gillette Stadium.
Hall at Patriot Place at Gillette Stadium in the plaza outside. Fred Kirsch has been running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Presented by Raytheon. They paid handsomely to have me forget to say that. And Ryan Morey running around. But, you know, hopefully they will be ready. It sounds like I talked to Brent, who's, I don't know what his title is, but
he's the curator.
Curator of museum. He said he felt like they were, you know, pretty close to
check it out.
Good to go. So,
well, I will be at the ribbon cutting today, so I'll try to give you a full report at some point.
Mike's
going to
be doing
it next week. I'll be there Saturday too, because we don't have any more shows after today. Kind
of. Right. Mike's going to do yeoman work on the Hall of Fame ceremonies.
Hey,
Fred
today.
Is here.
Oh, Fred is here.
A surprise guest appearance.
I didn't
on
think
the
we
show.
Had any chance of seeing you today.
Fred Kurt, he heard there was. He just came to get lunch.
He
that's
heard,
the only
he
reason
heard Papa
he's
Gino's.
Here.
Oh,
it was lunch? Really?
They're running a little late, Fred.
Look, can I step out of the host show
yes,
now,
he actually just yes. gave you the thumb out.
Fred just pulled the Jeff Van Gundy there, too. What?
Right. What? Fred, we were actually just explaining why we wouldn't see you today. The hall, and you were running around doing a lot of different things.
Well, I was, but now it's to the point where I'm just standing around doing nothing. So I said, I'm going to just do the radio show.
So everything's good to go. They're ready. The ribbon is stretched out. You got big scissors, big fancy scissors.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but
you got to have a ribbon.
Yeah, you got to have a big pair of those. Yeah.
I love those. Mr. Kraft has one. Is Brian Morey going to be in the photo?
No.
Brian Morey, he might be.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Then you should
Mr.
be in
Kraft
the photo.
Mr. Kraft needs to be there with the head of Raytheon.
Right.
And they need to be cutting that.
Right. I'm sure Brian's that's what neck. They're going to do. They're going to do something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Thank you very Brian's much. Neck. Yeah.
Isn't that what they call the grip and grin in the photo business?
I don't know.
Grip and grin.
A grip and grin. Shake hands, grin, and take a photo of somebody cutting a ribbon or putting a big metal shovel into the ground for groundbreaking.
No, like, but as you said, the
those baseball bat shovels they did for Yankee Stadium
was
pretty cool.
Cute, huh?
All those the real silver, shiny.
Yeah, like, and they had a, but the shaft of the shovel was a baseball bat.
Yeah, it's now we'll find out who got the shaft on that. Well, the taxpayers in New York.
And the poor kids that lost all their parking. You see that thing on E60?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the ribbon cutting is today. The CEO of Raytheon is here, Bill Swanson, and he'll be doing a private tour with Robert Kraft any moment now, and then the media will be going through. And so it's a big day here, big day. A
lot going on this weekend. For
thank you, Robert.
And the hall is ready, right?
Hall is ready. Hall is ready.
Hall is ready here.
Brian Morey says it's ready.
Well, the last time I saw Brian, his head was still attached to his shoulders, which I took as a good sign.
Yeah, barely, though, I think.
No, it was hanging.
Yeah.
But Fred, we don't have your take yet on Joey Porter.
Did you hear about Joey Porter?
I hate Joey Porter.
I do too, Fred.
You're gonna
this is going to be a bad show because we can't argue about anything because I hate. He's my most hated guy in the league.
What's the deal with him? I know he said that.
He just says they're going to come up here and get their first win. You know,
said Tom Brady's not there. It's
no
easy
Tom Brady.
Without Tom Brady.
Why does he do that?
Because he's an idiot.
Well, there's two questions. He's probably just an idiot. Or is there any chance he's just trying to rally the troops and they stink enough as it is and try to, I don't know, build some false unity or
false
some kind
of
crap?
Doesn't he realize that that's not the way you do it?
No, well, no, probably not. I don't know if you know his history. According to Mike, you can go to his Wikipedia page, and it has line by line every dumb thing he's ever said over
very
the course
of his
career.
Very good list of offenses, including some of the criminal offenses.
Rodney wouldn't take the bait. They were trying to get Rodney to respond, and he just said the great thing about football, opportunity
after,
on Sunday.
Yeah, they only respond after they win. Then they'll have stuff
I don't
to
even
say.
Think they'll respond.
Not for Joey Porter.
The Dolphins, Joey Porter, it's so
Joey
so
Porter is
not a big
so
game.
Down on the,
no.
on the radar screen because he's he's a guy that's he's so outrageous and he's so moronic that I don't even think he.
But
really
he's not
resonates.
Good. He's not but good
even
anymore.
If he, even if he were still,
I think
good
if
player.
He were still good, they would respond Sunday.
I just think that he's so outrageous.
He's now
that
all
they,
mouth and no substance.
Yeah, he's on the pay no mind list.
Yeah. What am I, a pay no mind list kid?
Yeah.
Now, if he runs through Matt Cassel three times and is doing his turf kicking stomp thing,
well, that
turf kicking stomp kicking.
Yeah, he can't.
Wes
really
Welker had a funny response when they said, "You know, here's what Joey said. They're going to throw the kitchen sink and they're going to do this." And he goes, "Well, that's good to know." Okay, thanks. There's the game plan. Greased up deaf guy.
Oh, that's good to know. He has that like monotonic thing going on.
Well, that's why he has the whole Tobey Maguire thing. He talks without opening his mouth.
Yeah, interesting character.
He looks just like him and he talks just like him.
He looks like the guy that plays the life coach's son on Nip Tuck. Have you ever seen that show?
I have seen
the kid Adrian,
the
one that sleeps with his mother.
Nice.
I think he's adopted though.
Oh,
that's the
okay.
tag. Nobody give it away because I haven't seen the next episode yet. So just you know.
All right.
Have
so
you seen the end of House yet, Andy?
No.
Okay, go ahead, Fred.
So what else is going on? What Patriots news is going on? Today is Thursday. No Belichick press conference.
Just locker room. Oh, the shield.
And how's the locker room?
It's still there. There's still lockers. There was actually a few players. Nothing all that. Like I said, there was a large group around Rodney to discuss the Joey Porter thing. Matt Cassel spoke. He did the same thing, blew it off, and just said everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, he wasn't going to take the bait and say anything stupid. I mean,
a lot of talk about the running game of Miami this locker room session. Well, they're just talking about the differences between Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown.
They have good running backs, but they don't have a good running game.
I'm not even sure they have good running backs anymore. They have guys who were good in the past.
Ronnie Brown's pretty good.
Ronnie Brown's past is not really that far back.
Post-knee injury Ronnie Brown. I don't know if he's the same guy.
Okay.
Based on his yards per carry, he's not.
I thought all players coming back from knee injuries were guaranteed to succeed.
I believe I said quarterbacks and told you he's not a wide receiver or a running back. It's not a concern, and I believe he had a worse injury.
Just trying to stir the pot.
He did say that.
Nume Nutte?
I don't have any idea.
I don't even know what that means, so I'm going to
ignore
it. Can't
say numbnut, so I call him Nume Nutte.
Oh. You just said numbnuts.
What an idiot.
And Gary's playing Salter.
Yep.
Okay, does Miami have a chance in this game?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
None. Zero.
I don't want to say none.
I'll say none.
But
if they run for 170 yards and Chad Penting can throw five-yard passes and not have to actually throw 20 yards, then he's okay.
See what the Cardinals did to him, though? I mean,
he doesn't have anything to work with.
So we're saying they don't have a chance because of the Patriots' defense?
See, that would be the reason I don't think they have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only way they would have a chance, in my opinion, is to control the clock and run the football with Williams and Brown and try to keep their defense off the field and maybe force a few mistakes from Cassel.
Right.
But I don't see how the Patriots' defense allows that to happen. I mean, can you envision Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams coming in here and getting 20 carries apiece and being able to control the clock?
I don't, but I also, you know, if Pennington had some weapons,
which he doesn't.
That's the problem.
I could see him picking Peck down the field, but he doesn't have.
He
Pennington,
anything to work
I agree with.
With
you, Fred. Pennington, I think, has been somewhat underrated against the Patriots.
Yes.
I think even with these bad Jets teams, he's had his moments. Last year, even that game in the terrible weather, they moved the ball at times through the air with that short dink and dunk passing attack. And the Patriots had a hard time getting off the field. Remember was it McCarron's that bobbled that touchdown pass in the back of the end zone? They reviewed it and ended up overturning it, calling it incomplete. That was a huge play in that game.
Yep.
Well, think of it this way. He's been one of the longest tenured AFC East quarterbacks over the last 7 years. It's been Brady and Pennington have been the two guys who are constants in some way or another. So you really can't find any other quarterback who's probably won two games against the Patriots from this division in the last like 7 or 8 years.
Right.
Because the Bills have had so many changes and Miami's had so many changes at quarterback. So you think of it that way. I mean, he's seen so much of them over the years.
Right. But unless...
But it doesn't matter if he has nobody to throw to. Protection
or
a running
guys,
game.
Like Teddy Ginn or Derek Hagan, you know, maybe Ernest Wilford gets his opportunity this week. He's played very... He was inactive the first week. I'm not sure if he was inactive the second week or not. I didn't check that. But they've been very underwhelming in terms of wide receiver
play. Freak plays is the only way they win.
What's the chance of the Dolphins defense giving the Patriots offense a tough time?
I think there's a better chance of that because I think that the one thing that's hit, you know, and Andy talked about the big plays. What has hurt them so far? Well, in week one, Favre hit them with a beautiful play action bomb and then a desperation fourth down kind of lucky play.
Right.
Week two, another Anquan Boldin bomb where there's no one around him for about a 75-yard touchdown. Another one to Larry Fitzgerald where he was probably about a 60-yard gain, no one around him. Well, I'm not sure the Patriots are going to have a lot of those plays. They probably will try a few. And, you know, with Castle, I think that you might be less likely to hit those than Favre and Kurt Warner.
Right? Yeah, they're dead last in the league right now in pass defense. So you wonder if the Pats are going to sort of alter what they do based on Miami's weakness. In other words, I don't think they tried so many deep passes in the first couple of weeks because they didn't need to. And maybe that's not what the defense was giving them. But now against the secondary, I take a few shots of Moss. I throw it up there and let him run.
I think they will kind of expand Castle.
Yeah, as time goes on.
You know, it's sometimes in the season, and it's too early for that, a team that's dead last or down the bottom and pass, they make up for in the running game.
Right.
A lot of those are yards at the end, but it's too early for that. But what about the fact, what if Maroney and Jordan can't go?
That's a problem because I think you want to try to run a ball control offense and chew the clock as often as possible and work those short yardage plays. And I don't know I don't think Sammy Morris is the guy who you want to give 20, 25 carries to.
Heath Evans could have another big day against his former team.
Falk. But, you know, and Falk's biggest contributions in the passing game to me, I mean, those are like running plays. We always talk about that.
But
so they'd be doing a lot of that again.
If you give Morris 15, you know, provided that those two guys couldn't go, Fred, like you said, you could give Morris 15 or 17 carries. Falk gets three or four.
Evans
gets
four.
Three or four. And suddenly you're close to that 25 or 30
Echo.
That you want to get. Thomas Jones ran wild on the Dolphins. And he had like 105 yards, good average. They had a hard time stopping pretty much everything.
The Dolphins stink.
They may not win a game this year.
And you know what?
They could be 1-31 over two
seasons. I thought
they
would be better. Now, maybe they will be. It's, you know, way early to say that it's going to be another 1-15 season. But last year, I thought they were somewhat competitive in a lot of their losses. Certainly not in the two against the Patriots. Yep. But in a lot of their other losses, they were in games.
Yeah, they played the Giants tough in London.
They were competitive when
that
Matt
rainy,
Castle
rainy
was playing.
Field. Yeah,
well, that's
although
true.
That guy plays for the Redskins now.
That's true. But I would think that the only way that Miami stays in this game is what Andy just alluded to, a couple of mistakes from Castle.
Yeah, it's got to be two picks from Castle, maybe again big play where he breaks a tackle and goes 80
yards.
But
not only picks, but a pick for a score. You know, because I'm not sure that they can translate that into points.
You guys have spent more time analyzing this than I think it will.
Well,
I really think they stink.
But they've got to get.
No, I know. I don't think there's a. And I know it's funny to say with 1 week of Castle, but unless he absolutely implodes like ridiculous, I just don't think the Dolphins have a shot in Hades.
They're going to need some field position, and one way to do that is turnovers, and the other way would be to actually get a return, which the Jets could not do at all last week with Gostkowski kicking five touchbacks. So if they don't have that again, that element, maybe they can get a couple of returns, get a ball at the 48, you get a turnover, you're in New England territory. The Jets started every drive at their 20, and I don't think they had one drive beyond their own 30. So it's kind of like having Matthew Slater back there. Sorry. But all kidding aside, I mean, the Jets were always starting deep in their own territory. You were asking them to go 80 yards or 70 yards in every drive. Miami can't do that.
It was about as effective a game as you'll see.
It really was. It was almost perfect.
Well, Belichick said, you know, a lot of the hidden yards, penalties, mm-hmm. field position off of special teams, things like that. The Patriots definitely dominated in that category. You know, the field position. The last three drives the Patriots had were at midfield or better.
And they had five.
And
in
they had
Jets
a few
territory.
In the first half the right. same way. Kevin Falk, like Andy said, was like he was shot out of a cannon on some of those punt returns.
Yeah, he definitely had something to prove out there.
Well, and that's what
Andy's
need.
Doubting him.
Yeah, I know.
You think he doesn't keep track of that kind of stuff?
Diminishing skills. Yeah.
It's true.
That's the kind of thing you need when you're working a new quarterback into the system and you're trying to make it as easy for him as possible. You start every drive with a 48.
Yeah.
It's a good way to go.
Sure. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. It's a very exciting day here at Gillette Stadium because Eric's at practice, right?
Eric's supposedly coming down later.
He's coming down later?
Well, what time is practice?
I don't know what time practice is.
He makes his own schedule now? Where is he?
He's coming down at
1 o'clock.
Must
be 12:55.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Transcribing?
He just says, I'm coming down at 1.
He said, I'll see you guys at 1.
It's painting.
He had something to do. Like what?
Is he doing Rook
work
after?
Related, or?
Is he doing Rook after this? This is not the first week.
No, I thought this was his Rook day.
Is he doing
it
checkmate?
Is.
Oh, so he comes at 1.
That's what I.
Yeah,
oh.
1-3.
Okay, so
like
that's
I did
the
yesterday.
Schedule. It's not like he's deciding to come at 1.
No, but I don't know what he's doing right now.
Well, I bailed on you guys from 12 to 1. You trashed me for an hour, so I guess it's
I didn't trash you.
I didn't trash you.
Oh, no,
reading emails.
I listened to the hour and I go home last night. Nice try.
I don't think I trashed it. Swipe.
I didn't trash
you. Had a few
either.
Select comments.
Well, that's what he does.
That's what he doesn't does. Even and then know he hides behind it.
Plus,
he's
not
way,
even lying right now.
By
he
the way,
even
I trash you when you're here, too.
Well, that's a good point. At least you say it to my face as well.
It's true. Okay. What else is going on? Should I get to the emails?
Yeah. So what exactly? It's just Mr. Kraft and...
No, Tippett, Ben Coates, and
Ben
John
Coates
Hanna.
Will be here. John Hanna, Tippett.
Oh, I saw Hanna upstairs.
Yeah, Hanna availability to the media, so I'll
all
get to talk to some Hall of Famers.
All those Hall of Famers are coming in.
Tomorrow, they'll all be here.
Oh, I thought it started today.
Tomorrow.
Well, today,
well, some
today's
are coming
the,
in, but
getting
tomorrow,
the ball
tomorrow they're going to have their own reception up in the hall.
Right.
So,
who's the guy coming from the furthest away, farthest away?
Well, Babe Parilli's in
Further?
Denver.
Thanks, Babe.
I don't know.
Sorry, Gary.
Trying to Hall of Fame.
The one time he gets to push the button and you ruin it.
I don't really know where
he must have gotten the Red Queen.
Florida.
Stanley Morgan's from Tennessee, right?
Tennessee. I would think maybe Colorado, unless some
Vito.
Who's the one guy not coming on Saturday?
Bruce Armstrong.
Okay.
Decided he didn't want to come.
Oh,
he's going to regret
via
that.
Via text
really
message.
Is,
you know
right?
that? He's going to regret that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's too bad. It would have been nice to have all 12.
Yep.
I don't know if he'll regret it, though. Some people don't regret.
Some people don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
not going to have them
someday.
All.
So that's
There's
going
at least
on.
One that's no longer with us. We're not going to have them all.
I just want to remind everyone, Saturday is the actual induction ceremony.
Yes.
So 3 o'clock. Patriot Plaza in front of the Hall of Patriot Place, Gil Santos, John Rook from Checkmate, all the Hall of Famers. It's going to be quite an event outside to kick off the Hall.
Have you done your weather forecast? Is it looking good?
I don't know. I haven't done that yet.
You're going to be over there, Fred?
I think it's going to be a nice cool afternoon, actually.
Perfect.
I've seen some forecasts, maybe in the 70s.
And I bet it's breezy.
Well, especially in
that area is always breezy.
And
it's
Mike's
always
gonna,
windy.
Mike's going to make it sing for the paper for us. He's picking up Andy and I and Eric. He's going to take care of the whole.
My back
Hall of
hurts
Fame
from carrying this week's
Absolutely,
issue.
That's
going to cover it.
That's the low man on the totem pole. That's that's what you get.
Nice,
nice spin job though.
He's going to make it sing.
He's going to make it sing.
And David, okay. I saw the photographer David Silverman today, so we'll have plenty of photos in the paper as well.
Good,
yeah.
Plenty of photos.
It's a big
That's
weekend.
Right.
Big
Lots
weekend
of big
here
photos.
At Gillette Stadium.
Big weekend.
While we're taking care of business, I'd like to urge fans to head on over to pfwinprogress.com, order a T-shirt from our good friend James. He called us the new A-Team. I got to give him a plug.
With a question.
Are you getting a percentage of that T-shirt profit?
You didn't actually go on and see that, did you?
He emailed me privately. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, did you see the
he
picture?
He did the question mark just so he didn't want to hurt
Did
any
you see
feelings.
The picture?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
With all of us?
And I agree. Eric really does look like Murdoch. Or is that his name, Murdoch?
I don't know.
Rupert Murdoch?
I never watched the show.
The A-Team.
Murdoch from
The guy on the A-Team
not
who was the womanizer who I always thought was a little gay. So it's appropriate that Eric is, well, except for he doesn't womanize.
All right.
Man-eyes?
Web radio at Patriot Scott. We got lunch coming?
Supposedly.
Yeah, someday.
Are you going to leave right after lunch arrives?
No, I mean.
Can't, because I'm leaving.
Might as well just stay, right?
I have a two-man show again, and we know how those go.
And the phone will ring, and I'll have to take a break and yelled at.
You're not going to get yelled at, are
Fred,
you?
Fred, I have to reiterate your impressive start in the picks contest.
Did I do good again
just
this
put,
week?
Oh, just putting it away.
Did I do good?
You're like nine games ahead of me already.
What about the spread? That's the important thing.
You did good, Rob.
You're killing there, too.
You know.
It's early in the year. It's when no one knows anything about the other
teams. I'm picking these games so badly right now, Freddie, that I have a better record against the spread than I do overall.
Wow. It's, you know, you got to get your rhythm a little bit.
Ooh. There'll be no rhythm. I'm done. I'm far enough behind now that I think I'm done for the year.
We had a good conversation, Rook and I, yesterday on the show about power rankings across the World Wide Web.
Is that during a break? Because I got some of the reviews of the show, and there weren't any good conversations.
During a break.
No, I'm only kidding.
You went after me yesterday, too. Now today.
So now we found out if Mike is on a show, it stinks.
You haven't learned yet that that's what this show is all about.
It was a very good segment. We were talking about where the Patriots ranked on NFL.com's power rankings, and they weren't in the top 10 despite being one of 10 2-0 teams. I thought, Fred, you would have some
They
issue
weren't in
with
the
that.
Top 10. They were 9 before the Jets game on the
According
ESPN
to Rook, he
power
said,
rankings.
Well, that's ESPN. He said this was the NFL.com power rankings. I don't know who writes it.
Well, we know that the league
is Carucci, isn't it?
Exactly. The league is against New England, so clearly. But
now the whole league is against them.
But I was making the point that at the very least, you start with the 10-2-0 teams, and there could be a 1-1 team. Like, for example, Philly might be a good 1-1 pick
team,
over Tennessee, for example,
right.
Or somebody like Carolina.
Who else is 2-0?
Yeah, Tennessee, Arizona,
both of those
Buffalo,
teams.
Right? Buffalo,
that's
Giants.
Four.
Giants.
They're not better.
They're not
than
better
Giants
than the Giants.
Yet. Not yet.
They haven't proven. We made the argument that the Giants could be number one.
I think that's. I think the Giants should be number one.
But
I think they've started strong, and they're the defending Super Bowl champions, so you should be number one.
But I was flip-flopping with Dallas and New York.
But does it have anything to do with last year?
I think it should.
I think as a defending champion, if you carry over.
But I think they've played pretty well to start the year.
They've played very well.
I had more doubts to start the year before they started playing than I do now.
The Giants have the
best dominant wins.
Best point differential in the NFL through 2 weeks.
Now, you could argue that they haven't really played any of the metal yet, but they have two dominant wins.
Well, on the other end, I'm reading a thing on ESPN.com that says the Browns are terrible. And I agree, they haven't played well, but
they
lost to Dallas and Pittsburgh, who maybe they could end up in the Super Bowl. And now you're 0-2 against the two best teams in the league.
They suck, though.
Well, part of the problem is a lot of guys aren't playing well. Like Braylon Edwards apparently has the same number of drops as he does catches. And if you're not going to get your stars to play well, then
well, do you trust Cornell to make a good call in a big game? Because he didn't make a good call on Sunday.
What happened? I don't know anything about the game.
With the field goal situation?
Oh, terrible decision.
I don't know anything about the game Sunday.
Chose to down 10-3, chose to kick a field goal to go down 10-6 with...
I forget how much time was left now. I forget all the details, but just
either way, he was going to have to.
He
get
had to score a touchdown either, in either scenario.
Right. So
you're
how
down
much time
10,
was left?
Like 3 minutes, I think.
And what was the situation?
They were on the 30, I think.
If I had the web access here,
but like 4th and 10, 4th and 2.
No, it was not.
It
that
wasn't
long.
Huge, but it wasn't a gimme either. I think it was a mid-range 4.
I mean, that situation with the conditions the way they were.
And what were the timeouts? Oh, the conditions
it.
Were bad in that game?
Oh, windy, windy.
Yeah.
Oh, awful.
I didn't know about that. So that explains why Pittsburgh only scored 10 points.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bad decision.
I just don't think he
you're
makes
setting yourself up to drive the length of the field again to have to score another touchdown.
That's a big problem with that team.
What?
From the top, the coach.
Well, it's not a problem in that. I agree with you. I think some of his decision making is questionable, but I think the players like to play for him. So there's,
well, I think
are you
that
getting
well, are
the
they
bump
getting
here
the most?
Or
I that think talent? That decision probably, you know, is worth questioning. But I don't think that's an overly talented roster that won 10 games last year. Do you think that's
team.
One of the better talented teams in the
not
league?
Not at all.
No.
I mean,
I think they're going to face a problem as Derek Anderson.
You hit a nail on the head with Braylon Edwards. Braylon Edwards is one of their supposed
playmakers.
Stars. And if he's playing badly, and I know that the first game he dropped a ton of passes against Dallas.
He's got 5 catches, and being fair grading apparently has 5 drops.
Yeah,
he's 5-5.
They can't have that. Now, that'd be like Randy Moss dropping as many as he catches for the Patriots. They can't have that.
True that.
Okay.
So what did you decide on power rankings? They're stupid. Because that
they
should be the decision.
Yeah, I decided.
Yeah,
Andy
and I aren't big
ago.
Well, did you see the new one?
With power rankings.
ESPN yesterday had their post-merger franchise power rankings. So since 1970, ranking all the franchises. Patriots were number 10 by then.
Well, that's ESPN just wasting time and showing you its vast
library. Well, just showing you. They have
history.
So much money. They can just put a guy in an assignment.
And every day,
like,
we have so much
this.
Video. Here's our top 10 moments of something. Top 10 quarterbacks named John throwing touchdowns.
Right.
And they just waste time with.
Well, was Elway number one?
Just collating themselves.
It's like a college camp.
I do have to admit that I like that stuff.
Oh, I hate that crap. How could you? I'm surprised at you. I didn't think you'd like that. I thought that'd be something you wouldn't like.
I'm a big fan of lists.
Oh.
I like quick hitters. I like lists.
ADD.
Maybe.
No
I
attention
like
span.
Wait, what was the question? Oh,
I like lists
sorry.
A lot. I think that's the best thing NFL Nothing. Network
that was
puts
good.
Out.
I know. Fred didn't get that one.
Fred's got that blank stare going like, I don't know. Are we really ready for this Hall thing? I don't know.
All right, let's get to some emails.
Will there be video coverage of the Hall event on Patriots.com?
I hope so. Yeah.
What does that mean?
I would think with the best webmaster in football, that I wouldn't necessarily be a hope.
He doesn't take the video. I mean, we got to get the video from somewhere.
Well, aren't we getting it from KSP?
I would hope so.
Is there some doubt
there? We can't assume
that
that's going to happen?
I'm still waiting for the cheerleader video from last week for the calendar unveiling. So.
By the way, the Gold's Gym down the street, once again, the machine is broken for the vending machine for post-workout protein drinks.
Couldn't get his protein. Might as well not even work out.
I had to drive down that. Where's that rotary where
that's
Omega,
what I said, Mike.
Omega pizza places and
right.
You have to drive around? Well,
Fox
I guess you never
Center.
Get any protein shakes then, Paul. I had to go to like the new.
Paul gets his protein the old-fashioned.
Now, are you bulking up, Mike?
It's bulk season now, yeah. It is bulk season. Yeah,
so
I'm trying.
You're bulking up?
I mean, I'm always on a regimen, but the part
competing?
Of the regimen that I
are
seem
you competing?
To. No, I'm not competing.
You're not competing?
No.
What
no?
is he competing for? Yeah,
for what?
Bodybuilding.
No, I'm far from that.
Is he a disabled fireman?
So I just why are you bulking up?
I like to work out.
I know, but why
normally
are you
bulking
up?
Normally I say he's getting big for the prom, but he actually might be going to the prom.
That's good. I like that.
Okay.
Nah, I like
trying
to just,
get big.
I just want to be in good shape.
But don't you get enough protein in your normal course of eating? Do you
See, unfortunately,
I thought
no.
you only take protein shakes when you're really trying to bulk up.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm trying to bulk up then. I don't know. I think
he's trying
to bulk
up. He wants to pack on a little weight.
You like to have, you know, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight.
Now, do you work the lower body too, the legs?
Oh, yeah, you have to work
you
the
gotta
legs.
You got to work the lower body.
This isn't like these, you know, a-holes who go to the gym. They just work biceps and chest all the time.
Like Andy?
Like Andy?
I do everything but the legs.
Right. See,
really?
You get the big top, the big upper half, and the little chicken
legs. There's
out.
A commercial with a guy like that. I forget what product it was. No. He had that really like chiseled upper body and these chicken legs. It was kind of funny.
That's why they wear the Zoom.
It was like a moderation commercial for something.
My
like,
main reason is because I want to run more, and if you do legs, you can't run. It ruins you not only the day you
no,
did
he's
legs,
right about
but
that,
like
though.
The day after sometimes. So all of a sudden, I've gone 3 days that I haven't run, and it throws everything out of whack. So when you're doing legs again.
Now, here's the thing. You work chest hard. You can go to work and function the next day. It's hard to walk
upstairs.
Legs,
you can't get out of your car. You're like a pregnant lady.
Yeah,
like
it really is
tough.
I've had some bad days.
Paul, you wouldn't know.
I've done a lot more stuff with my legs than the upper body, and I've never had those kind of problems. But
apparently,
now,
you can work hard.
I guess I'm the opposite because when I used to have to actually work out for this stuff, I couldn't do anything the next day. You couldn't play basketball. You couldn't do anything.
I need to get back on the juice.
Your arms would be total jelly.
You're going to get back on the juice.
Wait a minute. He's going to have to find it. There's clothes on it. This magazine stacked on top of it.
My mother once bought a Ron Papil
food dehydrator?
Set it and forget it rotisserie, and it became a bread basket after a while. Just open the cover, put bread in it, boom, slam the door
shut. Set it and forget it.
And we literally did forget it.
Oh, that is funny. Gary just handed me the picture of the PFW Progress A-Team.
I like Paul's, too, with the little mohawk he added
over
the bald
spot.
I like that. He looks like Mr. T.
So to make a long story short.
Would you say paper champion?
He's white.
Had to end up at Walgreens to go buy a 4-pack of EAS protein shakes that I have to need to put in your refrigerator, by the way, to keep those cool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, drastic times call for drastic measures. If they just fixed the damn machine at Gold's, we wouldn't have this problem.
That's a nice little tirade right there.
All right, let's get to some emails. Webradio at patriots.com. Tobias in Vastovas, Sweden, writes in, everybody seemed to think Castle and Gutierrez were neck and neck for the backup position. If they were, then why is Gutierrez only the third QB? Shouldn't he be the second on the depth chart if that were the case?
That wasn't the case. I don't think that battle was as big as we all made it out to be.
I think
internally, Castle was always the guy.
Yeah,
Gutierrez would have
right.
had to do something big to get number two.
You might be right.
I have to think that Mike's right because I think if it
Mike Wright.
not Mike Wright. Mike Mike's right. Because I think if it was as close as we all thought it was, and I think he would have been the number two guy, Gutierrez, don't you?
Yeah, I would.
Although some people believe that O'Connell is the number one guy in waiting and will be in that role very
right,
soon.
But we're just talking about this year.
No, yeah.
I mean, down
people
the road,
some people are talking about
happen.
This year. Next some people still are predicting a Castle implosion.
Well, some people or one person.
Yeah, who's the person? Just
I think she's got multiple people in that head of hers.
Well, that's a good point.
Okay, now I know who you're talking about.
That's a good point. But the O'Connell thing, it was interesting when, you know, when Castle got banged up a little bit on Sunday, it was O'Connell.
Right.
You know.
Well, you had to at that point because then you lose him.
You know, he was up right away throwing and obviously – you know, we'll have to watch and see what Bill does going forward. Maybe he'll say, geez, you know, that was close. Maybe we don't want to put ourselves in that position where we have a rookie. But
and I guess Chris Gasper speculated a little bit that maybe they could get creative with O'Connell later in the season, maybe have some packages. You know, people like to have packages with their athletic quarterbacks and put both of them on the field and try to do some things. I'm not sure he's that athletic, but be interesting to watch, like in the red zone. I would think that would be an emergency thing if say, a wide receiver got hurt or – something happened. I just don't see them turning to that as an option early.
But I do think if this red zone stuff continues, and it was only one game, so I don't want to make it out to be an issue right now. But if they have games where, you know, they're in the red zone 3-4 times and they're coming away with one touchdown consistently, maybe Bill gets creative and does that. Because we know they don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver.
And we know he's sort of hinted at liking those players. Like, from afar, being intrigued by teams that use them.
He likes toys.
But I just don't know if he's all that toyish.
Like, well, he's a pretty good
runner. He's a good athlete, but I don't picture him as a – and I also think you're risking it with a third-round pick that you're trying to – I mean –
Yeah, you don't want to get him involved in
kind of if he was a sixth-round pick that you had taken just to kind of screw around with, that's
like
one
Michael
thing.
Bishop.
Yeah, but this guy is, my guess is, the quarterback of the future, both in terms of backup and maybe even long-term in the post-Brady era.
You don't want to pigeonhole him as a red zone specialist.
Right, I don't want him going over the middle and getting knocked out by, you know,
this
Ed
is
Reed.
This is where you need a guy like Ben Watson. Your tight ends are a big part of the red zone offense, and it'd be nice for him to get on the field.
Yep.
Does he come back
and
play
show
this
up
week?
In the passing? I think he is.
Does.
Yeah, wait one more week with the bye coming and make sure that he's 100%.
Wait for
that's a good point, too.
For him to be 100% think... for that week before he gets hurt again?
Yeah, I mean, at this point now, just get him on the field.
Why are you so angry?
Because, I don't know.
No, I understand.
They had a nice win last week with the backup quarterback that there was some concern about.
I love the team.
And you have done nothing but spew venom.
You don't think Ben Watson is a frustrating player?
I do, but I don't get mad about it like that.
No, but that whole, let's wait an extra week so he's healthy? For what? Because he's going to get hurt again. He always does.
Yeah, that's the thing. Why hold him out for another week?
I guess it was dumb to speculate whether or not they'd give him an extra week with the bye coming.
All right, let's go to the phones. Dan of Delaware, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, a couple corrections from yesterday's show. Let me be Eric with you for a minute.
Okay.
I thought you were
religious. You're not allowed to be that, you know.
You want to eat my salad?
No, I'm just I'm not the rocket scientist you guys gave me credit for. I think
I don't think so.
Ethan?
I think that's Ethan. Yeah, I'm just a lowly computer programmer.
It's Delaware. It's a small state. So what are you going
to
do?
Hey, one other thing you guys said too, and I only know this because I went to an American Indian reservation this last summer for a week. But Spanish food is not the same as Mexican food.
Well, that we all knew.
Right.
Right. You guys were making fun of me. Bringing a Spanish guy who's coming over to a Mexican restaurant. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, we were.
That was just our racism talking.
That was.
Don't worry about that. Nothing to see here.
One we all knew we were butchering at the time.
All right. Well, I don't mean to be Eric with you.
That's okay.
I just really called to tell you I'm not a rocket scientist.
That's good because neither are we.
That's good. Hey, one thing about this year, it's going to be a little bit rougher, but you know what I was thinking? Last year, especially at the end of the year, it was nerve-wracking. Every Sunday I was like stressed out because, okay, they're going to get one more win. Are they going to get one more win? You know what? This year I think it's going to be more fun.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
That's a Mike Parenti keyword.
I think part of the stress came from the fact that they were chasing historic record, not because there was anything on the line other than 16-0. They weren't in danger of losing first place or a playoff spot. So you're going to be nerve wracked again if you're in a position where the Bills are a game out in December and now you're coming down to the wire. So I don't know how much fun that's going to be for you.
But you're not the first person that's used that word. Our own Chris Ferreira, the best webmaster in the game.
Dan, I think interesting is more of an appropriate term than fun.
Interesting. Well, there's a lot that could happen this season the way it could play out. But fun, I don't know. And I've heard a lot of people say that. I've heard people...
Sunday was fun. The Giants kicked the Rams' ass. That was fun. I was not happy when Torrey Holt caught that long touchdown and the game was suddenly close.
Some people got bored last year and they turned the game off at halftime. And I heard people say... And my mother-in-law told me it was her favorite game in the last year plus to watch because it was in doubt. It was hard for.
I turned off the 98 World Series and the Yankees were up 3-0.
That's how people are watching.
Yeah, I just don't get that. I don't get that.
Ooh, I hope they win by 30. You know, it's there's something to play for.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun last year.
You know what? I was going to say,
you should.
When
no,
they were going
should.
48, 49, 52, 56 on a five-week stretch, I thought that was pretty fun.
I had a lot of fun.
You know what was funny was listening to the Vegas odds, how they could never get it right, you know?
Right. Yeah.
They just kept making it bigger and bigger until they finally made the Patriots not cover.
Right.
Anyway, all right. I hope you guys have a great day. I'm looking forward to listening to the podcast.
All right. Okay. Thank you,
Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Dan at Delaware. He used to be able to give us updates on Eric, but not anymore. That's over, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know, though.
No?
Freddie, if you get a chance, look at his screen
Lubricants.
Backdrop.
Oh, yeah?
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Matt in Quincy, he says he's pissed. In this week's Sports Illustrated, a story about Peyton Manning, Vikings defensive tackle Pat Williams states, and writer Lee Jenkins clearly supports the notion that Brady was injured because of a cut block by Sammy Morris. I have watched the video repeatedly, and nothing could be further from the truth.
The video
clearly shows Pollard diving at Morris's legs, and then, while Pollard is on the ground, he dives at Brady's legs.
Yep.
I don't fault Pollard for the injury. It's football. This stuff happens. But to blame Morris by extension, the Patriots for the injury is ridiculous.
I agree.
That
absolutely. Is that what they actually said?
The way Matt described the play is exactly the way it happened.
How does that stuff get written?
It was funny because Pollard
clip.
Really took a weird angle at Morris from
live,
the beginning.
And I said this to Andy immediately live. I thought that he bit for the play action fake and thought that Morris had the ball.
Yeah.
Why else would you dive at a guy's legs like that? That doesn't make any sense.
Athletic.
I just think that he got kind of confused and did. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think there's anything dirty or anything. But I also, if Morris did cut Pollard, that's a good block.
Right.
Cut blocks on blitzes are a good block.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. If you get the guy to the ground that way, that's your job.
Right.
Couldn't have cut him on that play.
No, it was impossible.
Getting lower than him was impossible on that play.
It was a weird...
I agree with Matt, though. That's not the way it happened.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated. I mean, if that's really what it says, that's embarrassing.
They should know better. They should look at the
film.
Supposed
to be a reputable source of information. That's really poor.
A lot of people were upset that we're talking politics.
Are we really talking politics?
Well, when did we... Yesterday.
Aside from me saying...
We got blasted for that, too.
We
hadn't said anything on the show about it until somebody chimed in.
So
hey, campaign alert!
People don't like it when we talk politics. They don't listen to the show.
I don't like it
politics.
When you guys talk politics either, because I'm so anti-political.
You haven't voted ever, right?
That's true. I'm very anti-political.
Wow, you never voted?
Thanks for sharing that with the rest of the world.
So Paul hates fans and people that vote.
He votes for and America.
You're not allowed to express yourself in any way.
Will you shut up?
He votes for the Patriots Hall of Famers.
That's right.
That's more important than the leader of the free world. Okay.
Thank you, Fred. That's
Todd also
important.
Says, Todd, is he mad at you now?
Oh, Todd just destroys
he
me.
He says, Paul looks like a deer in the headlight if the deer is eating exclusively from a McDonald's dumpster.
That's not complimentary compared to the one that's coming later.
That's not nice. Let's see. Ping Pong writes in.
Yes, Ping Pong, one of our favorite emailers.
He says, what should my dad and I expect from the game on Sunday against the Dolphins? Should we see more or less of Castle? I think the defense will have an amazing game. My prediction is 17-3. And the guy who did it before the age of 14, what Eric is still certain. Ping Pong? No, you shouldn't share that with us.
He already did, actually. It's kind of late.
Really?
He's and the name Pong. The name Ping Pong comes from where he performed this act, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That is right.
And he wanted us to remember him. He was disappointed because when he uses his regular name, we don't recognize it and recall. So
apparently his dad is proud,
and you were mispronouncing it for 2 weeks.
He's just throwing this
out there. There's a follow-up. Reed writes in, at first, after listening to Tuesday's podcast, Ping Pong is my hero. Secondly, I have this feeling that the lack of depth at wide receiver will come back to bite the Pats in the ass if there is an injury, even if the injury is to Gaffney. Do you guys agree? Also, do you think Bill will spend another high pick on a wide receiver in next year's draft to address that need? You guys are the best, and Eric sucks and Jeter swallows.
I thought we had a referendum on not using the word swallows.
Yeah, but the boss can do what he wants to do, apparently.
Well, did we? I wasn't here Gary when we passed that referendum.
Apparently, I used the word several hundred times on the
co-host. Not use it anymore, unless you're referencing barn swallows, the birds that swoop around.
But to answer that question, I don't know if the lack of big play receivers is going to hurt now if they're running a different style of offense with Castle.
I think it's going to hurt eventually.
I do think the lack of receivers, maybe not big play receivers, like you said, but... I think that
that's
they are a little thin at
argument
that spot.
Then, yes.
And if you lose one of those three guys, you know, now you're dangerously thin.
But, I mean, so far you have your backs and your tight ends, and you expect to get your third tight end back this week.
Look, the wide receivers didn't catch many passes on Sunday.
No, and they
what did they catch? 9 balls? 7 for Welker?
And
two
they moved
for
the ball well.
None for Gaffney.
And I don't know if that's a big factor in the red zone. To me, the short yardage game is different anyway, so you're looking at more of just screens and sort of those kind of passing plays that turn into running plays,
bodies.
Then it's okay.
If Kelly Washington lines up out there opposite Wes Welker, and that's your team.
And he's banged up.
In all honesty, the guys that they would have to replace, I think, are replaceable. So
Moss
I think
Welker?
You could... No.
The if lower, one of those two guys gets hurt, chart, then you then I think it's
screwed.
A major
but
problem.
But that's what I think he's talking about.
No,
but he's
saying
like
even
a Washington
even
or
if it,
a Gaffney.
He said even if it was Gaffney.
I think you can find another Gaffney on the street.
I agree.
I think, matter of fact...
I just don't think any
His name is CJ Jones.
They worked another Gaffney out this week, according to you guys.
Yeah.
Caldwell.
If Welker or Moss go down, those are the two I'm
win,
talking
lose,
about.
No matter.
Even if Gaffney's still here. I think he's elevated beyond his role as he's already reached that Peter Principle ceiling at number 3.
He's going to be overexposed at that point.
What?
Jab.
Yeah, Jab.
So what I'm saying
nice
is
man,
if those lower
like,
tier receivers
nice
get hurt,
kid.
You can find other lower tier receivers off the street to bring in and I think compensate. Obviously, you can't lose Moss or Welker. We know that anyway.
Right. Anthony in Naples is on the phone. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing
what's
much.
Up?
Oh, nothing. Just listening to sports radio and just hearing about Lawrence Maroney, how he missed practice yesterday. And I just got to tell you guys, I'm off of that bus.
Wow.
A lot of people are.
You know what it was, too? Watching that game and, you know, okay, so he's out. And then you see Lamont Jordan come in, and he just takes what's there, and he ends up getting like 3 to 5, maybe sometimes a 7-yard run. And that's how I feel Lawrence should be running. I refuse to believe that Lawrence Maroney has lesser talent than Lamont Jordan. Do you know what I mean?
No, not at this stage in his career, he doesn't.
No, and it's just, it infuriates me. And what made it worse watching that game was to see him come back.
Well, that's the thing. It was clear that, well, I shouldn't say it was clear now. He wasn't totally out because of injury, because they did bring him back. I find it hard to believe the one play he got now seriously injured whatever the shoulder issue was, and that's why he's missing practice. Clearly, there was more than just health involved there on some level.
LaDainian Tomlinson aside, usually when injured guys are on the sideline with their helmet on, that means they're okay to go back in the game.
Right.
And he had his helmet on the whole time. He was standing right on the sideline looking like he wanted to go in the game any play, and they didn't choose to put him in until there were 2.5 minutes to go.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think he needs to buck up and just be, you know, take a little bit of the pain, stop whining about it if you have a little bit of a tweak, you know, and just, I feel like that's what he's doing. And you can see that he was dancing in the beginning.
He's got to be more decisive.
How long till we stop just thinking it's going to happen and say he is who he is?
Well, that's why I'm saying I'm off the bus. I'm like,
the end of this year.
I think a lot of, honestly, Anthony, an employee of this stadium walked by my cube yesterday, stopped and said, how long till we cut Maroney? I'm off him. He stinks. I'm not going to play him fantasy anymore. I don't like him anymore.
You've reached the desk of
That's what it's.
I actually had a friend of mine earlier in the week. He's an Eagles fan, and he had a trade proposed, you know, through his fantasy. I think fantasy is a bunch of luck. You know, it's literally, they should call it fantasy lottery. But he asked me, should I trade, I think it was Colston, for Lawrence Maroney? I was like, dude, I don't see Lawrence Maroney getting into the end zone. And I'm a true fan of the team. It's just, I've lost my faith in him. I really have.
He lost every. He built up so much goodwill, I think, over the end of last year. Fans were excited again. He was getting in the end zone. He was having 100-yard games, and it's all gone in a couple weeks.
In fantasy, are you allowed to count the yards he runs sideways? You could be good.
No, you're not.
You know you're in trouble.
Amazingly,
yeah, and
his
another
first
one, too, that's
the first
round
season pick. I say amazingly because
just disappointed
this team
in
has
Ben Watson. I feel like there's always an injury with that guy.
47 touchdowns.
Yeah. From one frustrating player to the next, I would agree with both those assessments. Frustrating.
It's frustrating first-round busts, you know, like that. It's just like, I still think
he runs well. I just want to get him his head straight.
I've gone back and forth. I said it yesterday. I don't know what to think anymore.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's all. I just have to get that off of my chest. A little frustrated.
But, all right.
That's what we're here for, pal.
He needs to give me 4 straight games of consistency in order for me to get back on.
Okay. Well, he did that last year. He's going to do it again now.
You may have to wait till December then.
Yeah. Call him in December.
What do you think of the his assessment of Jordan and Maroney?
I think, at worst, they're equally talented.
I mean, Jordan was a second-round pick, right. If I recall.
Right.
Certainly done a lot more at the NFL level.
Right.
I'm not sure that he's...
But, I mean,
less
you have to say,
I'm sure he's less talented.
I know it's hard to compare
Maroney
year to year, but Maroney was the 21st pick in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, so what are you talking like, maybe 20 picks later?
To me, that's a pretty good jump.
But
that means he's at least the same.
But then you take into consideration that the guy who was taken later has done a lot more in terms of production as a backup.
Right, but I think Anthony's was just pure physical tools. It's hard to say is that much more purely physically talented.
But he was saying Maroney is more purely physical. You can't
Don't tell me that Jordan is less physically talented than Lamont. I think he's saying worst.
Am I like having another one? This is like
I thought what he said was at worst, he's equally as talented as Jordan. He should be able to do that.
Oh, man. I am just I turned 40. He had the colonoscopy. He can't remember anything. I can't hear anymore. Mm. I thought I was just blind. I thought he said...
Could be the lack of food.
Don't tell me that Maroney's not more talented than Jordan. But he said the opposite. I'm just out of my mind. I'm glad I didn't say anything to Anthony.
Okay.
I missed it too, Paul.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Jason in
Chiba
writes in. Been quiet, but I've been listening. I have a few things to get to. One, praise for Mike. If there's one thing you can do to get on all of our bright sides, it's argue with Andy. Give him the what for. Stuff
yeah,
about McFadden,
keep sticking
Falk,
with CJ
Jackson,
Jones.
And especially Castle would be great. You got Falked last week or something like that. Gary, can we say Falked? Yeah. That said, you're wrong about Slater. I would know. After all, I am a fan of the
what
Patriots,
the
which means my opinion counts more than yours.
What?
Keep up the good work. You're doing a fine job filling in for he who shall not be named but hates Jason and Chiba. So there you go.
So why does his opinion count more than mine? Because
he's a
fan.
Patriots
he's a fan and you're not.
I, that makes sense to me.
Oh, okay.
One fan to another.
Well, I guess I'm replacing this show with Jason and Chiba.
Also, Jason says the game. I know I'm not known for my football questions or delving insight in that regard. More of you, less of me is a great policy. That said, is Ellis Hobbs as good as he looked in highlights? You were so down on him in the preseason. Give me a little rap on the secondary in general.
They had a very good week last week. Ellis Hobbs had one of his best career games, but I'm not going to wipe out three-plus years with one good game and say, he's great.
I thought Hobbs was terrific on Sunday. I thought it was the best game I've seen him play as a pro.
There's a guy who maybe all of a sudden the light went on.
We'll see if the health issues and how much of a factor they were the last 2 years. But this is as good as he's played since that second half of his rookie year when he became a starter and had three picks in the last eight games. So you wonder if he sort of turned the corner in that regard.
Mike did a poll story on
I'm just reading you my poll story here on the air. So, but you know, it seems I think having Dom Capers has helped the secondary as well, and I think the presence of the improvement of the front seven with Mayo at his spot and Thomas at his spot now, I think they're feeding off that in the secondary. And a lot of guys talked about that yesterday in the locker room, that symbiotic relationship. When those guys play
Chris
well,
Gaspar
they play
was
well.
Asking the questions.
I was just leeching off Gaspar. Yeah.
No, I think that's good point all around. The improvement in the front seven and Capers' impact, I think that can only help. I really didn't think that Hobbs – I thought Hobbs was better in the opener than what I remembered at the end of last year, but I didn't think he was very good in the opener either. This week against the Jets, I thought he was excellent.
It was
I thought
great.
He had a couple of plays where I think Favre wanted to go in that direction and then thought better of it because the coverage was there. And he had a couple other plays that he made on the ball. I thought he was really, really strong on Sunday.
Hey, Dave, I haven't finished Jason's email. I will in a minute. But Dave in the Philippines, who's not in the Philippines, he's actually in the States today, is on the phone and buying lunch today.
Yes!
Dave, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Thank
Sorry,
you, Dave.
Lunch is
Thanks,
late,
Dave.
Guys, but it should be there any minute now. I just called back to check in, and they said it was already in the car on the way.
Yes, better late than never. No problem.
Thank you, Dave.
I threw in an extra pizza because I figured you guys would be really hungry by the time it got there.
Wow,
you're the best.
You are the best. Now, is this from Papagino's?
Yeah, that's what you guys asked me to do. So
that's great. Thank you.
No problem. Hope you enjoy it. Hope it gets there soon.
So what are you doing in Syracuse?
I got a job doing some software development, and the client's out here, so they flew me out for a couple of weeks. I'm actually heading up to Boston tomorrow.
Nice.
I'm going to be there for the weekend. I was thinking of checking out the induction ceremony Saturday. Are any of you guys going to be there?
I plan on being there, yeah.
Fred and Mike.
All right, well, I'll look for you guys, see if I can make my way through the crowds and catch up with you.
You certainly know what we look like now that PFW in Progress is on the web.
Well, Fred will be with all the luminaries in the red carpet.
I'll be with the peasants. You can come find me.
Yeah, Mike will be with the common folk.
Actually,
he's a man of the people.
All the luminaries are at the hall right now. I'm here doing the radio show because I'm a background guy.
Because you chose
to be here. I'm not a front-of-the-camera guy. I'm a behind-the-camera guy.
You're there because you're waiting for lunch to show up.
Exactly, Dave.
You got me. You got
I've been
me.
Listening to this show long enough. I know how
you got
it
me.
Works.
Can't believe you're going to be in Syracuse over the weekend, and instead
I'm going to be in Boston over the weekend.
Well, I mean, you're in Syracuse now, but instead of staying for the weekend in that big Northeastern Syracuse football game, you're coming to Boston.
Well, you can't.
Well,
I mean, the traffic going into the city
I got a chance,
is crazy.
Since the company paid for me to come over here, I'm going to head up and visit family. Going to head up to Vermont during the week.
Absolutely.
So you are going back to the Philippines?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm here until, I think, the 30th, and then I got to head in the plane and head back.
All right.
Unfortunately, the bye week came at the wrong time.
Yeah, you kind of got hosed there, huh?
Hey, as we speak, Dave,
the food is
Ghost
arrived.
Gender has just walked in with the food that you ordered.
Wonderful. I hope everything's good and it works for you guys. Hey, on to football. You guys were talking about how the front seven on the defense helps the backside. Part of that front seven is Seymour. He seems to be playing a lot better this year than the last couple of years. Seems to be really healthy again.
That seems to be the consensus.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think he's been better, and I think that's really had a trickle-down effect. Ty Warren was phenomenal on Sunday as well. But Seymour's presence, and he's made some big plays at important times, I think that's helped out things as well.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, the collection of that front three in the 3-4 has been really, really good for us. And when everybody's healthy and they're going in all cylinders, I think that's one of the best front threes in the league. And I'm really impressed with Mayo. He's just doing a great job for a rookie.
Sure is.
I don't think anybody could have expected a rookie linebacker to walk into Bill Belichick's system and play every down in his first two pro games.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And then, yeah. And he's got to be the real deal. I know I get made fun of a lot of times when I say, well, if Belichick thinks that, then... But, you know, you're right. If he's coming in and playing every down, it must be the real deal. So
yeah, the guy obviously must be studying the playbook after hours and doing everything he can to pick it up, because that's not an easy defense to learn, especially at the inside linebacker position. Now, is he playing the Mike or the weak side?
He's weak playing side. The weak side.
Okay, so do you think someday he might groom up to be the signal caller?
Oh, yeah. I think so, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, I didn't really notice it in the second game, but in the first game, Andy and I were talking about it. Gary Guyton came in for Brewski for one series. It was a three and out, so it was only three plays. But Mayo was the mic then when Guyton was next to him. So he switched. So, yeah, I think they're grooming him for that as well.
That's great.
Yeah, because that's always been a concern the last few years. You know, Brewski's been playing a long, long time at a hard position. Someday he's going to have to retire, and you were wondering who was going to take over that critical spot in the defense, and it looks like we got our guy.
We got the guy. They finally got that linebacker we've been talking about every year. Are they going to draft a linebacker this year? They finally did it.
And got the right one, apparently.
Yep. All right, Dave.
As far as one other thing, as far as the receivers go, if they lose Welker or Moss, they got big problems. I don't care if they almost never throw to Moss. He's still drawing double coverage, and he's freeing up other people in the backfield in the middle to get free. Yeah. And if they lose that advantage and they can go to single coverage on our receivers, that's going to tighten up everything across from us the whole way.
Right, and everything gets harder for guys like Welsker or Gaffney, guys that are bumped up.
Yeah,
it's that much harder.
As much as we like what Castle's done, he's not a guy that can make other people better yet, like Brady can.
And he certainly can't even be worried about it at this point.
Right.
He's
going to
worry about being Matt Castle for now before he's making anybody better.
Right.
Yeah, because Moss is making a lot of people better, even if he's not catching balls.
Right.
Just
clearly.
By drawing that double coverage, taking two defenders out of the rest of the game.
That's right.
That does a lot.
All right, Dave, look for me on Saturday.
I will do that. Take it easy, guys.
Okay.
Enjoy your lunch.
Thank you. You're
Dave,
the best. Thank you.
Dave in the Philippines, temporarily in Syracuse. We're going to take a break right now so I can wolf down the sandwich. We'll be right back.
Fred will be back after this short timeout.
I need to go pooping.
Hey, Freddie, while we're young.
Hey, hurry up in there. You in there?
Patriots.com Radio. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information, and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan
and former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers their playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Maryland Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
August 14th, 2008. Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. We're enjoying the sounds of Atomic Dog during the team's pre-workout stretch today. A much better musical selection than Stephen Gostowski's iPod playlist from Tuesday that featured a Dave Matthews Band medley, among other songs not suitable for football practice. Sorry, Stephen. Also, it's worth noting that Paul Perillo is back in the media tent with an outfit that actually matches. Ah, another classic. The Far Side's passing me by. Whoever's playlist this is, I'd like to shake his hand. Chris Gasper seems to think it belongs to James Sanders. We'll get to the bottom of this if anyone cares, which my guess is nobody does.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Blog entries or blog readings by Dan Tugender. Was that your writing, Andy? No? Who wrote that? We know?
Sounded like either Mike or Eric.
Oh, okay.
I would go with Mike.
Okay.
I never heard of a Tom.
Excellent lunch sent in by Dave from the Philippines. Not only did he give us sandwiches, he took the time to get us an extra large, super satisfying 16-inch pizza from Papa Gino's Meat Lovers.
Oh, good stuff. Sausage, pepperoni. I'm going to have issues later.
Andy's going to be in the toilet.
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
I mean, is there anything better when you have a steak and cheese sub, and in between halves, you grab a slice of Meat Lovers pizza and eat it?
In between bites, you're grabbing it.
Stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's really good stuff. Thank you, Dave.
And you also forced Fred to go on a rant about world trade and stuff.
What?
I can't even have things done in America anymore. I've got to holler at the Philippines, dude. What are you ranting about?
I don't know. Before the break and before Dave called, we were finishing up Jason in Chiba's email.
Yes. We're big over there in those islands.
His final entry was about the Checkmate show. I didn't think anything could make that show duller. Rook used to be like that guy on the train asking himself questions and humping the seat, but now there's the other guy next to him who keeps responding in a dull monotone with pathetic, unopinionated, cliched answers. Thank you, Eric. That will be all. At least keep him on PFW in progress where we can make fun of him. So,
I might have to listen to one of those shows, Checkmate, just to have a little material to call upon when Eric's on this show again.
Okay. A lot of emails today. People just really excited about this game coming up.
It's because this season is turning out to be much more fun.
I say it's just different. They're all fun. They're all
interesting.
Fun.
Well, they're not all fun.
Well,
if you're one, had a lot of lately, fun last year.
Lately, for the Patriots, they're all fun. Alejandro from Bogota writes in, "Put me in the minority who liked Tuesday's show. I think Andy's rant on Mini Gary was hilarious. By the way, Andy, that presidential bet is as easy money as you're ever going to find. I have another proposition. If McCain is elected, he won't complete his 4 years tenure, which isn't a bad thing since Sarah Palin is a VP MILF or VP ILF. Vice President, I would like to... Oh, can't say that.
Gary, admit it. You were a little worried there.
On to football. Back in the lean years, the only home game that was sold out was the Dolphins game. Why was that? I mean, the Jets game wasn't so compelling back then, or was it just people wanting to see Dan Marino? And P.S. to Fred, any change of schedule because of the bye week? No. But, Paul, you were a big Dolphins hater. Why... Any validity to that assessment there, you think? Oh, he's got a mouthful of food. All right. Let's see.
I'm not allowed to make those jokes anymore, Gary.
You could have continued to talk.
While Paul's back. Me. Paul's back.
Paul's back.
Ooh.
I would say, and this is strictly my opinion, I always felt the Dolphins were the biggest division rival because they were the best, and you couldn't we could never beat them. Certainly not down in Miami. We went, how many, was it 20, whatever, 23 in a row? But up here, we always felt like we had a fighting shot. I think that was the best home game most years was the Dolphins. And he's right. Alejandro's right. That game was always sold out.
Yep.
But I mean, for me, that was the most compelling.
Yeah, they were the marquee team. They in the 70s,
and that was even
yeah.
before Marino, by the way.
Yeah, they had some great teams.
There's none of those like wintering, summering issues at play or anything. There, like people that are down there come up here or something. Miami.
Oh, I don't think so.
New England connections.
I don't know. Let's see. Adam writes in, week one was bizarro world in the NFL. Colts lose. Brady goes down. Castle has a passer rating over 100. And Jake Del, I can't say it, doesn't throw an interception against the Chargers, who I hate, to win in the fourth. Week two woke me up a little more. I've noticed Maroney doesn't charge into the defense for that extra couple yards. He's always trying to dance around. I want to see him try and punch through more. Is there a team gynecologist that can remove the pixie dust from his ass? Oh, see, now that's not right. What made Brady lose his parking space this year? Who has it now? Did Brady have it in 01? And will Brady be the mentor that Bledsoe was? I've always thought Bledsoe stood up as a great mentor, even though he wanted back in the game. I really think it's important Brady is there like Mickey over Rocky. So
he lost his spot because he chose not to compete for it.
Right.
He did not try to work out. I don't know who specifically got the spot that was his last year, but all the award winners got their front row spots.
Right. But I guess he is going to be here. I doubt he'll be here on game day because right. standing up for 3 hours probably isn't the best thing to do when in his
– But he's not going to be on the sideline.
Yeah,
for sure.
But he is – apparently has been anyway here during the week kind of helping out Castle, which I guess is a good thing. If they think it's good, then it's a good thing.
Well, I think it's really good for Castle. It's just the effect on the rest of the team.
I wonder how that's going to go for the rest of the year. Like I said yesterday, he hasn't been – he hasn't had the surgery yet, so – Once he has to really get into his rehab, I wonder if that changes for him. His personal situation doesn't really allow him to be at the quarterback meetings and all that stuff.
I would imagine once he has the surgery, he's kind of out of action for a few weeks, right?
That's what I mean. Like,
not really. He'll be up on his feet pretty quickly.
Even with both MCL and ACL?
Yeah. He'll be on crutches immediately, but then shortly thereafter, they'll have him doing things. They avoid scar tissue.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Movement. It's actually very important to get it moving pretty quickly.
But does that... I mean, I guess that the timetables can always be altered, so he could actually do all of that, you think?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, his rehab will be at most a couple hours.
Yeah.
So if that couple hours is, you know, early in the day or late in the day before, you know, if there's some flexibility there, he could do what he wanted to do in terms of the other stuff.
Okay.
Adam also has a little problem about taking showers at the gym. He's worried about if he accidentally gazes at...
How do you accidentally gaze at them?
Will he end up with like Eric?
Yes.
We're not going to get it.
Don't accidentally gaze.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes above board.
Or Eric.
Eyes up.
Leave Eric alone.
Eyes on the prize. Well, not that prize like Eric.
You are an habitual liar.
Let's see.
Who was that? For future reference.
Adam. Let's see. Craig writes in, and Fred, I didn't say I was the only African-American. I only meant to ask, am I? The only one.
No, we have at least three.
that we know. But
that makes sense because Fred probably read the email wrong.
Right.
As soon as we said, I bet we have quite a few.
I hope so.
But Fred, I'm in my 20s and I have a sidekick and I want an iPhone. Since you have one, is it worth the money of getting it?
No.
Andy, why don't you just shut up? I love it. I think it's
that
great.
Was a rare moment of true anger.
No, I was
from Fred to you.
No,
wasn't like
no,
when you make fun
talking
of his
to
gadgets.
Me.
Just for a split second, you were a little bit mad.
No, I wasn't.
Fred, just a little bit.
I was feigning anger.
No, I disagree.
I really don't care.
You really love your iPhone?
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. I think the only thing they just did an upgrade, you know, for the software. I think battery life could be better.
Yeah, but that's the Apple way is making sure you need to buy a new one in a year.
Well, I think battery life could be better, and AT&T isn't the best carrier.
How long are they tied into that?
Well, what is the best carrier?
I think right now Verizon might be.
They always do the best on Consumer Reports does a survey, and they always do the best.
See, none of these bells and whistles really impress me. That's why I don't know anything really about it. I have AT&T, and I don't ever have any problems with it.
You can't get anything in this building, though.
Just in my office.
Right.
I can get anywhere else. In my office itself, my cell phone doesn't always work. Yeah. But I walk outside my office right in front of yours, and it works.
Well, I do, but it's barely. But I think the iPhone is great. I don't know about the Sidekick.
I don't know
what
anybody.
Is a Sidekick? Is that a good one?
I don't know.
I really don't know anybody that has the iPhone that's really unhappy with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
you kind of, even if you were, you'd talk yourself into it.
I guess you would. I guess you
have.
Would.
No, I think it's great. And the great thing about it is you can download all these great apps, which is also cool.
Although some of them don't work. Like the app that was supposed to tell us the score of the game and didn't.
I have this iPhone, and I don't even use it for video or audio. It's just a phone and email, really, for me.
So it's a waste.
In the apps.
Well, that's why.
What's an app?
Applications.
Applications.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Like, where are you getting that from?
iTunes store now has a separate store called its App Store, and developers are allowed to just develop these things for iPhones and put them up there, and you can download them. And
I didn't know if that was like a black market thing where you were just getting them randomly off the web from some guy who has a great app.
No, this is official.
Okay.
You said you'd be here at 1. It's 10 past.
Eric's late.
Craig
also
says,
are we ever going to draft future wide receiver that's stars like Givens and Branch? Because to see what Fitzgerald and Bolden do each weekend is amazing. And also, isn't it Cinerese Moss in the same boat as Chad Jackson as wide receivers who were supposed to be impact right away?
Very different kinds of players, though. Cinerese Moss is really small. He's, you know, like his brother.
Right.
Small speedster type. Hasn't had a big impact. That I agree with. But
Chad
Jackson was supposed to be a Larry Fitzgerald with speed.
Not the pick, but say a franchise-type wide
big,
receiver.
A big, strong wide receiver that could impact games.
Now, both those guys went in the first round. So is Bill going to use two first-round picks on those guys? No.
I doubt it. You're talking about Bolden and Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
We know that Bill, I mean.
His ideal would be to get another Givens and Branch, a second and a seventh.
And remember, I forget exactly what I was asking him about, but I know that Bill likes Fitzgerald a lot. From something that he gave me a quote about the draft this year where he mentioned Fitzgerald unsolicited a couple of times in terms of those high-end draft picks that have really been impressive.
Now, which one wants out? Bolden?
Yeah. Bolden.
Bolden
yeah.
wants
He
out.
Says he doesn't even want to sign an extension anymore. He just wants out. He wants them to trade him. But that might change in 3 weeks when the trading deadline comes and goes and he can't get traded. Because let's face it, they're probably going to be good. They're not going to trade him.
I was going to say, or they're, you know, 6-0 or whatever. Or 5-1 or what?
Jeff in North Providence. You know him, Eric? You're from North Providence, right?
I might know someone named Jeff who lives in North Providence. It's not that big a town, but...
Yeah, Mike didn't know him either.
He says, I just started listening again 2 weeks ago. Haven't listened since the Super Bowl. I was too depressed. Anyway, where's Craig? I loved it when you blew him up. Those were my favorite segments of the show. And also, Fred, I got the Juice Man Juicer. $50 at Target. It is the greatest thing ever. It juices things that you wouldn't expect to be juiced. I know this sounds gross, but you should juice beets. I read that it lowers your blood pressure within the hour.
I have nipples, Falker. Can you juice me?
About the Pats, even though Porter opened his mouth, I don't think the Dolphins will be a walkover. The Dolphins have always been a team who beat the Patriots when you least expected it. I think it will be an entertaining game. Love the show. Also, Prenny is a great addition. So that's Jeff.
That's the North Providence thing there.
Well,
yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'm just not sure that Miami
has the
horses.
I don't think it's going to be that interesting, honestly.
No interest in this game. Terrible game.
Well, terrible in the sense that I think the Patriots are going to beat up on the Dolphins.
Assuming they don't absolutely give the game to the Dolphins.
But can we make that assumption?
Yeah.
Okay. No concern about that.
None.
Well, Joey Porter can make the assumption that Matt Castle's they're going to walk all over Matt Castle by throwing the kitchen sink at him.
And what if they do?
Don't think the Jets were throwing the kitchen sink at him?
I really don't. Not in the first half.
No, not in the first half, but they tried.
I don't think they did. I really don't think they did. I don't think they came at him with a lot. And Fred said the same thing yesterday. I agreed with Fred. I don't think that they did a lot of that stuff. I think they wanted to sit back and see if he was going to lose the game on his own.
At first they did that, but then they started pressuring him.
Yeah, and they sacked him 3 times.
And they scored one drive
in the second half. I think the Patriots then adjusted and went to the run. And I think that countered it. You know, so it was a little chess match
They came out on that drive to open the second half and sack, and they had a punt. And then Favre threw a pick and gave him the ball on the 30-yard line. They ran it in. for the touchdown from there. So really, once they did start doing some of that stuff, the offense wasn't quite as efficient as it was earlier in the game when they were, even though they didn't score that many points, they were moving the ball much better in the first half.
That one drive at the end, the Patriots got the field goal, 14 yards to Dave Thomas, 14 yards.
Great drive.
Mm-hmm. That was huge.
Yeah. Great drive.
Because if that was the drive where the Jets were going to win the game, that mm-hmm. was it. And they came out and they passed on first down twice, and I think that was the game right there.
Yeah, I agree. That was the drive of the game. That was the biggest moment. They needed to go down and move the ball and put points on the board.
If they had stopped the Patriots with no points, all the momentum would have been on the Jets.
Now, the thing that I would be concerned about, and listen, I don't think Miami has the horses. We all agree on that. But just that I think even if Castle doesn't do anything wrong, doesn't have any mistakes or whatever, I'm not convinced that they're going to pile up, 25-plus points. And I think he played a solid, solid game against the Jets, but they did end up with 19 points when the game was over. And if that's all they score, then the other team's going to be in the game. That's the only concern that I have is if they're playing well.
Unless it's one of those defensive games where you just know they can't score on us.
But without Brady there, I don't know that I'm not going to do something to give the game away in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. Even though I'm in control of it, all of a sudden I lose control of it with one play that I never really got from Brady. Well, it's just that unknown that still kind of hangs over my head, and I worry about it.
But I think
they're going to win this game handily. I'm taking the Patriots, and I'm giving the points.
If the Patriots get up by two touchdowns, game's over.
I don't think there's any question.
Yeah. What do you got there? Oh, that's just getting ready for later. Ethan, up! It's the doorbell. Somebody's at the door.
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Jackpot.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
Well, Christina, courtesy of the Miami Dolphins visit to Gillette Stadium, we have the Miami Trumpet. That's Miami Trumpet.
I thought
Gary might play a... remember the salad soundbite from Lori?
Mm-hmm.
It involves that line of questioning and my digestive problem. That's Miami Trumpet.
You know, Christina, we got to get her on the show. I know she wants to be. I asked her.
She always says she wants to come on.
She's adorable, isn't she? She's just like cute as a button.
I'm not sure that is appropriate.
In a man of your position.
Cherry pie?
Well, I mean she's a, an in front of the camera person. So that's what it's all about. It's appearance, and she does
is
well.
Is B-Lo adorable? He's an in front of the
camera
person.
Well, he's a guy. Yeah.
See, this line of thought I don't think is okay.
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, if I was a woman sitting here behind this microphone, I might say I love B-Lo. He's hot.
Mark tape.
Mark tape. I love B-Lo. He was hot.
Let's see. Ethan from Delaware says, Andy,
is this the rocket scientist?
He says, since you were asking, I was not able to make it. Yes, it is. I was not able to make it to training camp this year, so I was unable to bring you a rocket with a home mixed propellant. The design is done, but I'm waiting to begin construction until I'm making a trip to Foxborough. I had to push my vacation back to early September, which is why I was unable to buy you lunch last Tuesday.
Well, I'm actually more interested in the rocket now than lunch.
Anyway, since we're talking about the cornerbacks, why is Wheatley falling down the depth chart? It is not as if he was embarrassing on plays in the preseason, like taking a ride into the end zone with D'Arcy Johnson. I like the idea of the youth movement of defense, starting with the four words, one name, Mayo. Also, could Hobbs' improvement have something to do with Capers? Mike Parenti brought that up today.
Speaking of coming up, is that your lunch we're about to see?
I just ate a large meatball in like three bites. All right, give me a little break.
We had a large stuff.
Yeah, but you didn't have to run the show. You guys can eat.
That's what you call that?
Not that coaches were telling him to play 25 yards off, but maybe Capers is a different way of getting through to him. If it is, I would be a lot more hopeful going forward this year.
Imagine if Capers came in and goes, Ellis, I was watching some film. I just got this. Instead of being 10 or 11 yards away from the guy who they're trying to throw to, why don't you try to just get closer?
Yeah, well, how about,
and Ellis goes, really? No wonder you're a defensive genius.
You mean I can really cover the guy? Now, speaking of that, because you brought up Mayo, Eric, you got the email I sent you, right?
I did. That's
so
good
So it
news.
Looks like for Patriots Football Weekly, Eric's going to be able to sit down with Gerard Mayo and see how he breaks down his own film and gets it ready to review and all that.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be exciting.
That'll be cool.
Count me among the very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think that would be one that we'd be getting.
A little inside access.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're lucky.
I'm very intrigued.
Well, the bye week's coming up, so that's part of the reason why we're able to do it.
Eric and Mayo together getting together in bye week.
What?
And that's
but
what
I am interested
too.
In.
That. I think that's going
to
be a fun
screw that up
because he you know when he does talk, which hasn't been recently because
he's a rookie.
He's a rookie, and it's early on in the season, and they don't usually do that. But he's a pretty good talker.
Yeah, he uses Avid, which you've used.
Yep.
Yeah.
He just wants to be good. Great. That's
what he said. I know. That's going to be fun. It's going
to
be
make sure
fun
the feature
do.
About him wanting to be great is great.
Scott from Atlanta says, it's been a while. Hope all is well. I'm making my first trip of the season to Foxborough this weekend to check out the team. Pretty excited about my first regular season game of 08. I was at the Tampa preseason game as well. Three questions. One, can we look forward to Castle getting some deep plays to Moss? I thought that both the Jets and Arizona really exposed Miami's secondary.
They'll try.
I think they will try.
Two, off topic. I'm staying at the Millennium Bostonian Hotel this weekend down next to Faneuil Hall, and I need a good bar to check out the Georgia-Arizona game on Saturday night. Any suggestions?
Isn't the Rack right
there? The CBS scene.
I knew he was going to say that.
Gary, isn't the Rack right there?
It's only 45 minutes away.
Out the right near the Millennium?
The Rack? No.
Yeah.
The Rack is gone. It's now the Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh. It's been a while since I've
there's a lot of good bars in that area. You should be all set. But if you want,
I don't know where
rent
to watch
a car
a game,
and come
though.
To the CBS scene right next to the stadium.
I don't know exactly where you would go to watch a game. I mean, there's a ton of bars down there, but is it as far as sports, Gary?
Try the Greatest Bar. That's a good spot
the
to
Greatest
watch.
Bar?
The sports. Greatest Bar. Where is that, Gary? What street?
It's down by the Boston Garden on, I think, Friend Street.
You could actually walk there.
What about,
over
by Fenway? What about over by Fenway?
Yeah, those are real sleazy, though. You know, like the
game
one.
On.
Yeah, those are all.
Yeah.
You know,
like brand new.
Your feet stick to the floor,
Cask
kind of place.
Flagon,
Cask and Flagon.
Didn't Cask and Flagon just have like a total?
It's tremendous.
Multi-million dollar redo.
You want to stick to where you are.
Cask and Flagon.
According to
where
you,
the,
you will if you go to those places.
Cheerleaders had their calendar thing
last
times.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a bad place.
We get a video of that one actually.
But I like that. What was the one you mentioned?
CBS scene?
No. The one, the Greatest Bar. That's a good place. And you could walk to it.
You've been there?
I've heard about it.
Heard about this great bar.
It's great. Yeah. What do they call it?
It's the Greatest
Bar. But if
bar.
You can, make it to the CBS scene. Three, any chance of meeting you guys on Sunday? I'll be in a suite. Wow. Can't remember
Sweet.
Which one, or I'll be on the field prior to the game for the warm-ups.
Well, you can meet Gary because he's down on the field.
Will you guys be down there? If not, perhaps sometime later this year as I'll make it up for a few more games. Just more evidence that our fans are high class.
Rich.
I mean, this guy's in a suite. Mm. I can't even get into a suite.
Who is this?
This is Scott from Atlanta.
Oh.
And you don't go when you're invited.
That's true.
Busy.
Mike invited you.
Busy.
He also says he'll do lunch. Next week.
Let's do lunch.
And tell the FNG eyebrows that he needs to be able to
eyebrows.
Not only dish it out.
There's only one of them.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah,
that's true. I mean,
he not only needs to dish it out, but take it as well. The dude cries like a baby and gets all defensive when people start picking on him.
That's true.
That's how I used to be last year.
It is.
You've really come a long way, I have to say.
It's been a whole year, Fred.
I mean, this is sort of like a metamorphosis. It's like a butterfly coming out of its cocoon.
Exactly.
Okay. I really
I
have
I
to
butterfly,
butterfly
and,
might be appropriate, you know, but I would ask him to change it.
No, I have
it's
to
more like a lion.
I really have to. I have to
cage lion.
I have to compliment you on this transition. I
by the dawn's early
I think you should just play that Sunday, G.
What's so proud?
Yeah, but except for the part where I start laughing at two gender.
You should give him a chance.
Those
Gary.
Genders.
You got nobody else.
I'm not. No.
I'm not doing it. No, I'm not doing it. But is it okay if Scott comes by and says hello when he's on the field? Because you're on the field. You're the guy with the microphone.
He'll be very busy.
Not really. And he doesn't wear a suit anymore.
Anymore?
Very disappointed in that.
I've never seen
Gary him used suit. To get all decked out for games. He'd be on the middle of the field in a suit.
Really?
Now he just wears like that. Right? You used to wear suits.
Correct.
What happened?
Why you got to take shots?
No, I just said that. I mean,
welcome to the show, Gary.
Well, you still wear suits on Sunday, right?
No. It's out.
Wow.
You see him on game.
Why?
Not for the last 2 years.
Why?
I find I function better in sneakers.
So do I, but Fred won't let me wear shorts and sneakers every day.
But you're not running around on the field.
No, I guess, yeah, you wear, like, wind pants, right, or something like that?
No, I wear khakis and sneakers.
Khakis and sneakers. And
Patriots,
like a
shirt or jacket.
Yeah.
I think everybody works better in shorts and sneakers.
Sure.
When you're comfortable, the energy you have.
That's right.
You know what happens when I start editing, Fred?
Come the clothes.
That's why we got to edit quicker.
David Storrs, Connecticut. Is Maroney going to play this week, or is he still listed with a something tear? And it's a woman's part of the body.
Yeah, you said it earlier, I think.
Did you hear Joey Porter's comment? What a clown. Trying to give a compliment, and he makes it into an insult. When will morons like him learn that they sign with crappy teams that can't beat the Patriots, and giving the Pats bulletin board material cannot help the Dolphins, only hurt them? And the Mike and Andy show was okay, but why all the hate on Paul? Leave Paul alone. He is the man.
He is?
I agree.
Todd from Nova Scotia should have an email queued up further on in this list.
No, Paul's the only one here that gets calls from the Big Show and all these other shows to be on, so he must be
accurate.
Doing something right.
Hey, that's thanks,
accurate.
Fred.
Right?
So why do I know there's a rocket shot coming after that?
Hey.
No.
Just call it like I see it. That's all.
It's true.
Let's see.
Phil, this week?
No.
Are you permanently out because you couldn't do Tuesdays?
No, but I was called to ask to do Tuesday and couldn't do it.
Tell them.
That I can do Wednesday or Thursday.
Right.
That's what I told them.
So why do they keep
all right, we'll get back.
Because the Red Sox played Tampa, and they were doing baseball days those days. They wanted to do football on Tuesday.
Maroney and Daubach.
You'll be back in October. They'll get you back.
Yeah. I'll just be counting how many checks I missed between now and then.
I'll make a call. Phil and Austin. Austin. You've all been able to watch Castle, O'Connell, Gutierrez perform in various camps. How would you compare each of them to Brady and each other in terms of arm strength, accuracy, touch, ability to throw the ball deep, etc.?
Well, I mean,
hard to compare them to Brady this year because we didn't see a whole lot of Brady this year.
And we haven't seen a heck of a lot of O'Connell here. We saw a lot of him on film, but that doesn't really
translate. Castle is not as accurate as Brady.
In terms of the arm strength, I think
Gutierrez
probably
has the strongest,
arm
of all four.
And I would say Brady and Castle aren't that different.
I think Brady and Castle look a lot very, very similar to me.
O'Connell has a pretty good arm, but is not accurate at all at this point, especially on the short passes.
And to be fair, they've been
tweaking
his mechanics
right
this year. So he has a new technique to get used to.
Boy,
so
you mentioned his boy for like a half a second, mildly critical, and he's like, well, to be fair, they are tweaking his mechanics.
No, see, I do give O'Connell the pass. The other two are nowhere near as accurate as you need to be. Gutierrez and Castle are all over the place to me in practice.
I flashed that in the game. There was like a two-throw span where the throws were nowhere near Welker and Thomas.
And
maybe?
You see it. You see it on the practice field, especially in the summer when we're out there for training camp and there's a million different reps that are going on, you know, whether they be 7-on-7 drills early in practice or just working out, you know, with the ball boys as they're holding their stationary targets. Brady's generally going to hit the guy, and you would expect that, but both Castle and Gutierrez, to me, are all over the place in terms of their accuracy. Now, I think Gutierrez probably has the strongest arm in terms of the best-looking, you know, the 15-yard out, you know, that one that you judge the arm strength on. Mm-hmm. Throws a good-looking ball.
I do think it says something for O'Connell, though, that when Gutierrez was cut the first time, O'Connell became the third QB, but when Gutierrez was brought back on the practice squad and then bumped up to the 53, he remained the number three guy, and O'Connell was kept at number two because all summer the speculation was it was between Castle and Gutierrez for that number two spot, but then one of them wouldn't make it. When they brought that guy back, he wasn't automatically bumped up back to two. He has to start from the bottom again. So I think that speaks a little bit to what they think of O'Connell.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting, and I'll be definitely keeping an eye on that the next couple of weeks.
Chris for the TIAN says, I thought you were getting the Neckin show on the site. Now, apparently they did have a DVD for you guys.
No one gave it to us.
No one gave it to us.
No one gave it to you.
It was a bit of a second-string effort.
The other thing, Fred, is Maury was not there this week. Yeah. He was out ill.
So backup host Mike Giardi was fighting with backup producer Cherublis or something he called
Cherubin.
Cherubin, he kept calling him.
Just throw the guy under the bus.
They were it got a little awkward, Fred. They were fighting through, like, we couldn't see the producer.
We couldn't hear
the
other
Mike's
end.
But
Mike went from smiling.
It went from funny to...
What were they fighting about?
The open. They screwed the open up a couple times.
Guys are here, obviously, Fred Kurtz.
So at one point, Mike didn't stop. You know how they tape the open? He didn't stop. He kept reading. So then they had to tape it again, and the guy went in and typed in the teleprompter, Giardi, stop talking here. And I think that kind of fanned the flames, and Mike went back at him, and it was kind of joking. Then it felt like it got serious, and Paul and I got a little uncomfortable.
Guess who fanned the flames inadvertently at first? Fathead goes, well, in fairness, Mike, it does say, Mike, stop talking here. And he goes, it didn't say that before.
But I don't like it when the talent gets mad at the technicians. Because all the talents, the technicians are the ones having to do all this stuff.
I think this was the other way around. I think the technician got mad at the talent, which
usually how it is. Technicians are usually very sensitive.
Temperamental. You know what it is? It's the jealousy because they're behind the scenes languishing.
Or yeah, they always want to be behind the mic.
Right, behind the glass.
Yeah, in front of
the camera.
We know
where they want to be.
They have dreams and aspirations, and they're willowing away behind glass.
Actually, behind the scenes kind of guy.
trying to find that, you know, black queen.
Yeah.
You
know? The behind the scenes people are typically the smarter ones because they're the ones who can handle all of that stuff.
Are you trying to suck up?
No, I'm just telling it as it is.
They have no talent.
Especially in television. When you put the pretty dumb people on the air and you put the smart people behind the scenes.
Did you get passed up for a job?
No.
Because the other person was willing to do what you weren't willing to do?
No, they put the smart people behind the scenes to manage everything.
And now you're here.
See, Gary has no complaints.
How has that played out?
You just
missed from 3 feet.
You, I don't even think it could have been 3 feet.
I got blocked.
By
your
chair?
I tried to throw my garbage into the pail. And
by your belly? You couldn't spin all the way around?
Oh, you know. See now?
Did you juice this morning?
No.
You haven't juiced since, have you?
I'm busy. Gerard from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania says, real quick question.
Joe Willie.
I'm in a football pool where I pick just one team to win per week. The only thing is, once you pick a certain team, you can never pick them again.
Knockout pool.
I have already picked the Pats and the Giants. I was thinking of going with the Chargers over the Jets since they were in so many close games this weekend. I just wanted to know who you think I should take.
By the way, are we doing picks?
Buffalo.
Is today pick day?
Oh, yeah, today's pick day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you didn't even remind me.
It's 1:30.
I just did, right at the perfect time.
I get so many emails.
Only really because he kind of reminded me. But
I like Buffalo as a possibility.
Who are they playing?
Oakland at home.
Oh, did you see the latest thing? They passed out in the media workroom in the facility. One of the media relations representatives passed out an ESPN.com column that was basically a rip job of Lane Kiffin.
Really?
So the infighting there just continues. Love it. I would like to be a part of something like that.
Why would ESPN be ripping Lane Kiffin?
Because he was like bad-mouthing the owner and lack of power and all that stuff.
And why is ESPN aligning themselves with Al Davis?
Well, I don't know, because writers have alliances.
All right.
I don't know if you know how this industry works. Not too many people are unbiased.
All right,
San Diego's good, too, though, for that.
We got to change gears here and get to our picks, right?
Yes.
We take a break before this game? Gary says no, he doesn't want to go to a break.
Paul would like a break.
No, we don't need a break.
Okay, break!
Corona, official sponsor of the Timeout, presents Great.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Well, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco nacho or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
August 15th, 2008. Do's or don'ts. A tonsorial tragedy for the rookies today as the vets gave them their horrendous haircuts. A Patriots training camp tradition. From what we've seen so far, linebacker Sean Crable has one of the worst new Coiferes.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Oh, that really tickled Eric.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, you like that one.
Twogender has found his calling.
Okay.
That's a good stuff. That's good stuff.
All right, it's Thursday. That means it's time to go around
Jerry
the NFL and do our picks.
Gender's calling.
Wow.
See how the guys behind the scenes have to get credit. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Like I said, it's time to do our picks. But before we get into this week's game, Paul, why don't you wrap up last week?
Fred, I'll say this. Everybody is doing extremely well, with the exception of me. A strong week all around. Fred continues to set the pace. Very impressive. 12-3 last week. With the spread, 11-3-1. Just unbelievable.
That's pretty impressive.
Unbelievable stuff. Let's see. Andy and Eric both 11-4, 8-6-1 with the spread. Mike 10-5, 7-7-1 with the spread. And I was, Andy?
Fat?
Six and nine.
Oh.
6-8-1 with the spread.
6-9 straight up?
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep. And that leaves the season totals 24-7 for Fred, 20-10-1 with the spread. That's good stuff, Fred. 2 weeks.
You should have been putting money on
these. Too bad
Andy,
this is just for entertainment purposes.
Andy 22-9, Eric 20-11. Mike 18-13, Paul 15-16. That is just
all right.
Abysmal.
Well, if someone's making money on my picks, I should be getting a cut.
You should.
You know.
All right. With the spread, 17-13-1 for Andy. Eric is 16-14-1. I'm 16. I'm actually doing better with the spread than I am overall.
That's amazing.
Which is really makes no sense. And then Mike is 15-15-1 with the spread.
All right.
So the first game up, Andy Hart, Kansas City at the Mike Ryans, Atlanta Falcons, who found life a little bit tougher in week two.
That's
okay. You didn't have 230 yards from your running back.
It's okay. They're playing the Chiefs this
week. 5.5.
So they'll find life easier. I'll take the Atlanta Ryans to win and cover. What's his name? Tyler Thigpen, Yancey Thigpen, getting his first career start. 3 weeks, three starters for the Chiefs.
I like that reasoning. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Ryans as well, both ways.
Yeah.
They'll win by 7-10.
Yeah, I agree. I like the reasoning, so I don't have anything else to add. I'll take Atlanta.
Yeah, me too. Atlanta, that's an easy one.
All right. Division game that
Fred, over there.
Fred pretty soon is going to have to start paying attention to putting his little hexes on. Oakland is at Buffalo, the 2-0 Buffalo Bills. Buffalo giving 9.5. A lot of points for a team that's a little offensively challenged.
I will take the Buffalo Bills to win and cover. Darren McFadden, the workhorse running back, in a boot. Career's over, as I said. No chance. McFadden stinks. And the Buffalo Bills are putting something together.
164 yards.
Yeah, his career ended. One game, 164 yards. Career total, 164 yards.
Okay.
You are
as
just
opposed to Rashad Mendenhall,
exactly,
who has
who's
2
ridiculous.
Yards.
28.
In two games.
He didn't play in one of them.
Exactly.
I will take the Bills to go 3-0. However, I'll take Oakland and the Kiffins to cover that number.
If they're the Kiffins
that
point.
I think they should be called the Kiffins regardless of whether he's there or not.
I will, too. I think Buffalo will win the game, and they'll win it fairly handily. But I think that 9.5 is a lot of points to give a team that I don't think is great offensively. So I'll take maybe a backdoor cover for the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going with the Bills to win, Oakland to cover, Rob Ryan and his defense, you know, in also Al Davis's defense because they work together on the defense. And Lane Kiffin does everything else. I think, you know, I think the Bills are the improved team, one of the biggest improved teams in the AFC, but they're not good enough yet to be giving that many points. So there you go.
All right. Houston, who had the week off unexpectedly last week, Andy, travels to Tennessee to face Kerry Collins, where the Titans are giving 5.
I will take Tennessee to win and cover. Ride that defense. Kerry Collins, I'll look for him to be the veteran, not make the mistakes, and just ride what's clearly going to be a very good defense yet again.
Yeah, I was early on, I was predicting Houston to be a surprise team this year, maybe make the playoffs. I'm going to have to jump off that bandwagon at this point. I'm going to take Tennessee both ways.
They're Houston going to play at Rice next week, right? Until further notice?
I didn't hear that. But
so they lost a game and you jumped off the wagon, huh?
Well, but they lost a game to the team that I really don't like, and you know who that is. So
yeah, the best team in football.
I wouldn't go that far.
They're top three right now anyway. Yeah, all right. I'm going to take Tennessee as well. I like that defense a lot. I think that's a very, very good defense.
Oh, by the way, you gave me a dirty look yesterday when you were talking about Tony Romo and say, you got to say top five, and you go, top three?
Yeah, why? Yeah, because
The guy you're bumping there who's the other choice, I think, for three is Ben Roethlisberger. So it's Brady and Manning. And for you to go, oh, obviously top three, and just disregard Ben Roethlisberger that he can't even be in the conversation.
No, top three. If you have to pick three, Brady and Manning are your first two.
Right.
The obvious
and
three.
And you said third.
Yeah.
Exactly. Disregarding Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't think that's an obvious three. I mean, I have no problem with him if you want to give him the nod. I don't think it's outrageous, but
to
someone else put Roethlisberger there, I don't think that's a bad pick.
Is
either.
You being you. Well, pompous and wrong.
You might be half right.
even he admits he's pompous.
I was going to say so.
Ooh, the debate is Friday?
Next Friday. Yeah.
There's a debate Saturday, too, right?
This is the first one.
No, VPs Speaking are this Saturday.
VPs is October 2nd.
Oh, really? I thought there was something coming up this weekend.
There might be, but
Patriots
it's not
are playing the Dolphins.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. There's no debate there.
I'm going with Tennessee.
Oh, good segue,
like
Fred.
Yeah.
Houston and Tennessee.
I'm going with Tennessee as well. Easy pick.
All right. Moving right along. Another 1 o'clock game. Cincinnati, looking like the worst team in football, travels to the Meadowlands to play the Giants.
Looking like
13.5, the Giants are favored by.
I will take the Giants. I'm going to take the points.
Yeah,
that's a lot of
that's
points.
That's a tough one.
I don't have the utmost of confidence in the Giants to always do the right thing and blow out teams they should blow out. I think the Bengals stink, but Palmer can't continue to be as bad as he's been. I believe he's had his two worst career performances to start the season numerically, and sooner or later he's got talent, and I know Chad Johnson's blaming the offensive line, but sooner or later they got to make a couple plays, and so that I think the 13.5 will be enough.
Well, I'm going to pick the Giants to win as well. I just think that they're lucky that they're playing teams like the Bengals this early. They had the Rams last week. They beat up on them. So I think the same thing's going to happen this week. I'll take New York both ways.
They only beat the Redskins 16-7.
That's all.
Yeah.
They only scored 16 points against the Redskins.
And they won going away.
They only scored 16 points.
You were very happy with a 17-point win over the Chiefs.
Okay. I'm going to take the Giants, and I'm going to take the points because I think the Giants just find too many ways to squander scoring opportunities in the red zone, and that worries me when you're given 13.5. So I'll take the Giants, and I'll take the Bengals to cover.
I'm going to go with the Giants both ways in this game. I think they do cover. I think Cincinnati is terrible, and I think the Giants' defense is just so good. I mean, they might beat them 24-3, and that would cover, you know.
All right. Well, Arizona, the 2-0 Cardinals, Andy, are going to travel to Washington to play the Redskins at Fred X Field.
Oh, I see what you did there.
That was Gary's.
I will take the...
See, I got to give the credit to the guy behind the glass, otherwise he'll get really mad.
True. Or he'll just chime in and take it like he did with two...
Redskins are favored by 3.
Really?
Really. I will take the...
It is what it is.
Arizona Cardinals to win. I think they're the better football team. This is the year, finally, the Cardinals...
I agree.
...make the playoffs, have a decent team, don't screw it up, and bottom line is they're playing the Redskins. They stink.
I agree with all that. And I'm going to take Arizona both ways.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to take the Redskins because I don't think Arizona is ready to come across the country and win a game it, quote, unquote, should win. So I'll take Washington.
Me too. I'm taking Washington.
That's a homer pick for you, Fred.
Well, I just got to, you know.
It's his new Broncos. He's off the Broncos.
I don't really
the
like the Redskins.
Shouldn't you be back on the Broncos?
No, not necessarily. I'm done with them. They got so lucky.
I don't
last
know if you've
week.
Heard Paul, but he's off the Broncos.
I'm off the Broncos.
All right, Tampa juicing. Bay travels to Chicago to play the Bears. The Bears are favored by 3. I guess Brian Griese's going to get another start for the Bucks.
For the Bucks, I will take
this is a tough pick.
Bears. I'll take the Bears defense to win and cover.
This would make the Bears 3-0, would it not?
Nope.
No.
2-1.
2-1.
They're 1-1.
That's right. The last play of the game. I say they'll rebound from that, and I think they're going to win going away. Beat up on Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think Chicago gets this one at home. They need to find a quarterback. I think that's a pretty good team, but you can't win with Kyle Orton. You have to be able to make some plays. I just don't see it, but I don't think anything of Tampa Bay.
This is a tough pick, I think. I actually do think something of Tampa Bay. I like their defense. I think Tampa Bay wins this game.
All right, moving along. That means we all lose that one. Fred's in the groove.
He fell out of the groove this week.
No, he's in the zone. Carolina is at Minnesota, where I guess Gus Frerotte is
starter.
Major Dad's quarterback.
For the rest of the season, he said.
Yep. Which is even more ridiculous than the decision to put him in the first place.
Yeah,
which
I don't
means
know why
he'll get hurt.
Vikings by 3.5.
I will. Who are they playing?
Carolina.
I will take the Minnesota Vikings to get off the schneid. Adrian Peterson, big game. Gus Frerotte will make a couple plays. And they win, although I don't see him starting the rest of the season. My guess is you have not seen the last of my Alabama State friend.
What's the number here, Paul?
3.5.
3.5? I think they'll easily cover that. I'm going to go with Minnesota. Adrian Peterson, 3 touchdowns for him on the day. Frerotte doesn't really do anything.
Well, I think Minnesota's going to win, but I do think Frerotte's going to do something. I think it changes the dynamic of the offense. He's able to throw the ball, and they don't have a quarterback that can throw it now, so I think that's going to be tough for Carolina to sort of adjust on the fly to what they've seen from Minnesota. I think it changes things, and I think Minnesota is more desperate. They have to win at 0-2. The Panthers are certainly excited about being 2-0 right now without Steve Smith. So I think the Vikings have to get this win, and they do.
I agree. Minnesota.
And, of course, Fred, you remember what John Fox once said. We heard it on cliche satellite radio one day in your car. John Fox is known to have said,
"Oh, whoever scores the most points normally wins."
No.
Oh.
You win with character, not characters.
Right.
We were listening to that Sirius show one day on the way up to the TV show, and like 3 things in a row were just like cliche central.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. And it was probably that guy Shine or whatever that has the radio Adam boys. Shine. You win with character in this league, not characters.
Just coming in from strippers, Adrian Peterson tweaked his hammy.
Thanks for letting us know after we made that pick.
How much is it tweaked?
Gary made sure that Fred did not miss the basket on that throw.
They still have somebody else, right? Chester Taylor? No.
Chester Taylor, yeah.
I just like Minnesota's run defense is for real. And,
yeah.
You know.
Every once in a while that bum chips in with a sack.
All right, let's keep going.
St. Louis is at Seattle.
Seattle.
And the dog game of the week, Seahawks by 9.5.
Ooh. I'll take Seattle to win, and I'll take the points. That's 2 bad teams, a bad game. I think the Rams are one of the worst in football, but that's a lot of points for a team I have no confidence in with no receivers. Who'd they sign recently? Another
Corin
receiver?
Corin Robinson
and Kyrie Colbert they traded.
Oh, yeah, I knew they had added another one after. Remember I used to love Kyrie Colbert?
Yeah. Well, we were watching the Mike Williams thing, and we said, I kind of like the other guy.
And then he came in, and he had a good rookie year and has done nothing since.
Yep.
This game is in Seattle, Paul?
That is correct.
I'm going to say they get off the schneid this week, and they win going away.
Yeah, I agree. I think Seattle's going to roll over the Rams. That's a sinking ship.
I made one of those cerebral, dorky fantasy moves. I have bad tight ends on my team, so I picked up John Carlson for the Seahawks. They don't have any receivers. They might have to throw to the tight end, right?
Who goes first?
I don't really have to be concerned about that. I just win 2-0.
I don't. I'm 0-2.
On. Who goes
couldn't
first?
Couldn't even beat Chris.
Fred's in a
funk. Linehan.
Anybody can make her go down, and I couldn't make her go down.
Well, Linehan, supposedly, Georgia Frontieri, on her deathbed, asked, in all seriousness, to make sure that Linehan gets another year. So I don't know if
you can't cross a woman's dying wishes.
I think it's Chip, her son Chip Rosenblum, is now in charge there. I think that he is trying to honor his mother's wishes and
you got to
and not. I mean I don't think it makes any sense to fire a guy midseason
right.
in football.
You're
it's
not
going
to go win the Super Bowl or something, and to really stomp on your mom's grave would be pretty bad.
Okay. To me, this the picking with the spread in this game is easier than picking straight up. I think you got to take the points in this one.
Okay.
And I'm also going to take an upset. I'm going to have the Rams straight out.
We appreciate you letting us back in the pool. anyway, Detroit travels to San Francisco for another dog game. The Niners are favored at home by 4.
The Fighting J.T. O'Sullivans?
That's correct. UC Davis coming to town next week, Andy.
By
UC Davis.
4.
Can you just make a pick? We only
San Francisco,
have 10
minutes. Sorry, at home. Good, 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 go.
Yeah, there's really no analysis to give for this game. I'm just going to take San Francisco.
Because you're not familiar with the teams.
That's a very good point, Fred.
Wow.
It's, you know what's bad when I have to look for Andy?
He's called you a butterfly. He says you know nothing about football. Fred, a little down on you.
This is not good.
Not down on Eric.
Not down on Eric. Not going to do it.
I won't say anything.
I knew what
Who'd
you were going
to
say.
Ping!
What the hell are you doing?
Speaking of ping,
I'll take
the Niners as well.
Frisco.
I think Detroit's defense, until they get that straightened out, I can't be picking the Lions any game.
And I think 49ers are coming into their own. I think that they are now the best team in the West there. They're going to win it. No doubt about it.
I think Arizona's the best team in the West.
I think 49ers are going to win it.
I think Fred forgot the Cardinals were in the West.
No.
And they already beat them at home.
I think the 49ers are going to win it.
Okay. 49ers.
He has to stick with that now.
About both teams.
It says here 49ers. New Orleans is at Denver in an interesting, interdivisional game, Fred? Interconference game, rather?
Interconference
game.
Right.
All right. 5.5 the Broncos are favored by.
5.5.
This game could be in the 50s both ways.
I will.
Not a lot of defense being played in New Orleans or Denver.
Take the Broncos to win at home, but I'll take the points. I agree with you, Paul. I think it'll be a shootout. I think the Saints keep it close. And a little side note here, my wife and I are watching a press conference with Jay Cutler. And she said, quote, oh, he's doing a good job hiding that big birthmark on his face. And I go, because that's not the guy with the big birthmark on his face. Those two guys are meeting up this week.
In my upset special of the week, as you know, Paul, I have at least one for you every week.
And usually come up with real big upsets like this one, I guess.
Take the Dolphins if you're going to have an upset special.
Taking the Saints.
Okay.
March into Denver.
Would not be surprised in the least if you end up being right. But I'm going to take Denver. And I am going to take Denver to cover just because I think they had a little bit of an emotional win last week and they try to build off of that.
I'm going to split it. I'm going to take Denver and but take the Saints with the points.
Thought you were off Denver, Fred.
This is picking. This isn't wearing shirts.
we'll keep that for the last game. Stripper says that he will take Carolina. If he loses, he'll be buying lunch next week.
Okay.
But if he wins, he gets to gloat.
Okay, I like that deal.
Sure.
I absolutely like that deal. Andy, your game this week is Pittsburgh at Philadelphia. Should be a great one. Eagles are favored by 3 at the link.
This is a good game.
I will. I have to stick with my team. I think they're both pretty good football teams, but I'm going to stick with my Steelers on the road, so I'll take those points. I'll take them to win outright, and hopefully this Ben Roethlisberger separated
sprain,
whatever.
It's got to be separate.
Right. Hopefully that just doesn't become an issue. Awful early in the year, though, to be dealing with something like that. So
I agree.
I would have concerns as a Steelers fan. Oh, wait, I have a Steelers jersey. I guess that makes me a Steelers fan.
Maybe
I have concerns long term, but I think they're the best team in football.
The combination of that and Philly's near escape from Dallas with a win, which they should have had, I think they come back this week and they take it out on Pittsburgh.
And you hate Ben Roethlisberger.
And I hate Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, so I'll take Philly. Both ways.
Fred's doing that thing where he
I'm taking
his
Philly,
eyes
but just because they're at home. I like the Eagles at home.
I like Philly. I think Roethlisberger is a little sore at best, and I think that mean old cuss Jimmy Johnson goes after him with his defense and tests him early. So
mean old cuss.
So I go
defense
with,
didn't look so sharp last week, did it, Fred?
I'm going with Philly. That was a weird game. That was one of those weird games.
Jacksonville.
Monday typical Monday night weird affair.
Jacksonville travels to Indy. Andy, another good game.
Not a lot of offensive line play in this
game. The Colts, 5.5-point favorites.
Colts will win and cover. They just need to give Peyton Manning some time. If they can keep him protected, I think they'll be okay. But that's a major issue at this point. I think it could be an issue against the Jags. But Jags have their own issues on that side of the ball. I'll stick with the Colts, even though This could be an ugly game again.
What's the points, Paul?
Five and a half.
Indy should be 0-2 right now. But that last drive where they kicked the field goal, they looked like the old Colts, and they looked like they started protecting Manning. So I think they'll continue that against the Jags in this division matchup. I'm going to take Indy both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to take Indy both ways. My concern is that Jacksonville, 0-3. I mean, that's a team that had playoff aspirations, obviously. They had a good run last year. So 0-3 is tough to climb out of, but I don't see them going on the road and beating Indy.
It's a tough one.
I'll give the points.
I really do think Jacksonville plays them tough.
They do.
And they do a lot.
They just never beat them.
Right, and they're playing for their lives here. So I got to go with the Colts winning, but I got to take the points. So I think it'll be a close game.
So, Vinatieri?
Huh?
That could be a three-point thing?
Huh?
What's that?
Who's that now?
47-yarder at the buzzer?
You think it'll come down to Vinatieri? Like a field goal?
Something like that, yeah.
Cleveland travels to Baltimore, Andy. Joe Flacco and the Ravens haven't played also in 2 weeks. Ravens by 2.5.
I will take the Browns to win outright.
Oh.
I think they're the better all-around football team. They need to start showing it. And as I said, I think they've played two pretty good teams to start the year, and that's a big part of the reason why they're 0-2. I didn't think they were a great football team. I thought they were as a mid-level team, I'm putting them better than the Ravens.
And some bad weather conditions in that Pittsburgh game.
Yep.
So I think that had a lot to do with them. They're only scoring 6 points or whatever it was in that game. So I'm going to take Cleveland over Baltimore both ways.
Hey, there's Stan Harbaugh.
Yeah, I like the Browns as well. And it's an indictment on Baltimore. I just don't think the Ravens are very good.
No 38-yard touchdown runs from Flacco.
No.
No freaking way. Unless McGinnis is involved.
Yeah, I got to go with the Ravens to win this game. I just think they're better than the Browns at this point.
Eric, you should have fired back there.
Dallas travels to Green Bay. Should be another good matchup. There's a couple of interesting matchups this week.
Good game.
Packers are the only home dog this week, getting 3 points at home.
Packers getting three. I would love to take those points, but I can't. I think the Packers, Aaron Rodgers is off to a great start.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
But I don't think they are quite ready to win this game with Aaron Rodgers under center. I think they'll put up a good fight, but in the end, I think the Cowboys make the play to win it.
Yeah, I don't know how good a fight they're going to put up even at home. I think Dallas is just that much better a team right now, and I think they might expose Rodgers for the first-year starter that he is, and I think they're going to win very big.
I'm going to take Dallas, but I think it's going to be a very close game. It's only 3 points, so I'll give the points, but I think this is going to be a good football game, and I think it's tough to go coming off the Monday night. You go to Lambeau. I think it'll be a tough, tough defensive football game.
And the Packers are
a good
football
team. But I'll take the
Cowboys. They
are.
They're a good team.
They're showing that
right
now.
And
Ryan Grant, get moving.
This is more of a who I want to win pick. I'm going to pick the Green Bay Packers to win this game.
See, that's why we always have hope, no matter how many games in front, because we know that Fred occasionally will pick with his heart.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that, but we know that he will, and sometimes that gets you in trouble.
His overworked and soon-to-stop heart.
The Jets will travel to San Diego. This is a tough one for Fred because his heart can't go either way.
I hate them both.
Jets at San Diego, Chargers by 9, Monday Night Football.
Chargers by 9.
Brett Favre on Monday Night Football. No miracles in it. Chargers win and cover. Very disappointed in the Jets. I thought they'd be a better football team this year. I learned last week they're not. They barely got by the Dolphins. Got beat up by the Patriots and get beat up by the Chargers.
I agree. I think San Diego was about to get off their schneid. This is the right week to do it. They're at home. They're playing the less than spectacular Jets.
Ed Hockley won't be there.
Right. So I think they win by at least 10.
There was no foul on the play.
Because I stink.
Yeah, I like the Chargers too. Obviously, you know, if not for 30 bad seconds of football, they'd be 2-0. Doesn't mean that they should be 2-0, but they certainly could be. I think that they roll over the Jets.
By the way, our boy in a boot or something with a sore toe.
LT?
Yeah.
Well, I know he has turf toe.
Poo.
Not only do the Chargers cover,
yeah,
but this after Sunday, the official will Brett Favre finish the season talk begins.
Okay.
He gets beat up that bad.
All right.
And humiliated.
Should have retired, Fred.
And the last man leaving the room had
Should've
a dimple.
Should have retired.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that wraps us up, Freddie. Brings us to the end.
Right to the end.
Miami travels to New England where nobody thinks they have a snowball's chance in H-E double hockey sticks.
And that would be accurate.
12 and a half.
Ooh, that's a lot.
12 and a half. Man, whoever thought that Matt Castle quarterbacking the Patriots would have a 12 and a half.
Apparently Vegas agrees with me and thinks the Dolphins are dismal and stink, so I'll take the Patriots. I will lay those points. I have no fear out of the Miami Dolphins as long as they don't bring Jason Taylor with them somehow last second trade back. Patriots roll easy.
No, I agree with you, and despite the best efforts of my former offensive coordinator, head coach of the Dolphins, Tony Sperano.
That guy's a clown. He's
not
going to last.
Do it. Not going to last is right. He's the Cam Cameron of this season.
Yeah, they got another clown to replace a clown. Cameron.
Now, I know I'm a lot older than you guys, and back when I played in football, the kickers didn't really have coordinators. I mean,
shoes.
How does that work?
Come on, guy. You're
they
a
didn't
team.
Really have offensive coordinators back in my day
you're
for the kicker.
You're a team.
All right.
I like to refer to Brad Seeley as the Patriots special teams coordinator.
Yes, but he said offensive coordinator. He said my old offensive coordinator.
Well, when you're just a fan rooting for the team because he didn't play.
I like the Patriots, and I'll lay the points. I think that they are far superior to Miami.
Fred, do it. Shock the listener. Shock them.
No, I mean, my question was whether or not I take the points.
Do it.
You know, well, just
that's the only thing, just so you know, that I'm waiting to write in. I didn't have any question of who you thought was going to win.
Just because something might happen crazy.
Joey Porter said it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
That means it's not.
Yeah, I'll take the points.
Wow.
First time.
Wow.
All right.
Is lost. Fred has taken the
points.
I have
no doubt they'll win.
You know, much like the Patriots wanting to make it more interesting this year without Brady, Fred wants to make the picks contest more interesting this week.
Wait till we tell the video department. Fred Kirsch took the points.
We'll see.
Leave Cecil B. DeMille out of it.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will actually be staying tuned for John Rook at Patriots Playbook. He's coming up with Mike Parenti.
I'm raising my hand because I'm sitting here.
Eric's going to be on it with him. So checkmates in full force, and we will see you next Tuesday.
We'll see you next Tuesday.